Remember the swine flu scare of 1976? That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic.
Dr. David Sensor, then head of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, is now in private industry. He devised the swine flu program, and he pushed it.
You began to give flu shots to the American people in October of 76.
October 1st.
By that time, how many cases of swine flu around the world had been reported?
There had been several reported, but none confirmed.
Where did this so-called deadly variety of flu, where did it first hit back in 1976? It began right here at Fort Dix in New Jersey in January of that year when a number of recruits began to complain of respiratory ailments, something like the common cold.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant, independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Friday, July 30th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. I'm trying to contain my frustration. I apologize for the wait to begin. Just like I told you the other day, an exact same time frame right before I was about to go live, my entire computer screen went a bunch of multicolors and turned off. For those that are watching this show and following what's been happening to me over the last couple of weeks, I don't even know how to explain how ridiculously obvious this all is with my phone not working up, VPNs not on, and on and on and on. But I'm going to go ahead and ask for your apology right out of the gate, because you'll see as we go through the show today, all of my work highlighting and preparing and the notes and everything, it all refreshed. So now I'm just going to walk through the pages I had set up that luckily I had saved anyway and try to remember all the notes that I had. So as opposed to you guys waiting for another 45 minutes so I can set it all up again. So a very important show for you today. Not a surprise that stuff like this would happen as we're being technocratically shut down and kicked out and cornered from every single revenue platform and everything else that happens today, which we're going to actually start off with a quick point about Venmo today. But we have a lot of really important stuff to talk about. Very important stuff about the narrative completely continuing to collapse as we keep talking about, especially today. Well, we're talking about an overwhelming amount of mandates and forced vaccinations. You know, that topic that was laughable fake news conspiracy theory right up until it was being jammed down your throat. That's what's happening. And while that's happening, we're seeing the information come spilling out of even the mainstream media telling us that vaccinated people have the same potentially viral load as unvaccinated people, or that vaccinated people can still spread the same thing, or that in Israel's case, that people who are vaccinated have almost seven times more likely to get it than people who have already had the natural infection. And all of this is being ignored, and mandates are being forced in nonetheless, despite the fact that if both people can spread it and both people can catch it, what does it matter? And this is where we are today, because it's obviously more so about the injection, about the agenda behind it all. We have a lot more points to go over showing you exactly those kind of points, such as the idea that more data coming out of Israel telling you that people who have had the injection more than 180 days ago are now twice as likely to catch COVID-19. That's not a joke. This is peer-reviewed science coming out of the chief ally of the United States. Guess what they're doing? Ignoring it, because trust the science, right, guys? But a lot to talk about, including ivermectin, which will make a lot of people happy today. And this is not because I'm advocating for one or the other, but because the data shows you yet again that they are ignoring things like this, my opinion, and also based on the data, because if they had something that was valuable, or wrong word, something that was efficacious, if something would work in any regard, in regard to COVID-19, they wouldn't be allowed to emergency authorize these injections. That's easy to look up. It says, I've shown you a million times on the FDA documents, if they had a viable alternative, they wouldn't be able to emergency authorize something they hadn't fully tested, which is what that means. Now, we're going to start off today with the Venmo point that I wanted you guys to see. I also wanted to add in general that I'm getting a lot of concern from a lot of people I care about, that are being forced into positions to take something that they do not agree with. Whether that's because of politics, whether that's because they did their research and they understand that this thing's actually quite alarming, or because they just don't want to. All of those are valid points. All of those are actually legal points for an individual based on the UNESCO international document or based on our own current law in this country. And a lot of what we're going to go over today will make sure that it will explain why that's absolutely outside the realm of any kind of legality. That there's no way that somebody can force you to take something that is unapproved, experimental, and still currently being looked into while we watch the government tell you that it doesn't even stop the transmission, or in fact, a lot of cases can be even worse for you. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen. They're still trying to do that. But realize that you have the law on your side. You have morals and integrity on your side. And as long as you can build enough information around you, well, and stand together with people, you know, the majority of this country, still 50.1% of the country that has not been vaccinated, well, things can change. It's only the people out there that are afraid to stand up for something that are allowing this to continue. As James Corbett keeps saying, this will stop when we stop it. Now, point really quickly, for those that hadn't seen, you know, other than the PayPal and, you know, Patreon and YouTube and Tumblr and LinkedIn and Apple and DLive and everything else that's been censoring The Last American Vagabond, Venmo also stepped into the action, despite the fact that the only people I pay with this was my exterminator and one time my personal rent. That's it. And I actually went back and forth, and I decided not to show that today and waste the time on it, but I went back and forth with Venmo pointing this out, saying, well, you told me you would let me know what it was that violated that. You literally said that in the email. I actually showed it to you guys. And when I said, okay, well, then show me what it was, they go, oh, we can't show you that. Okay, well, you told me you'd show me, but now you can't. And of course, it's much more. It's because there's nothing I did wrong. And as you can see here, I said, Venmo just admitted that the action of banning me from their terrible platform was taken not because of my activity, which was just paying my exterminator, not joking, but because I personally was deemed a risk or security concern. This is exactly what I keep telling you guys. This is about individual. I am being turned off. Now, is that what happened with my computer? Who knows? Is that why my phone doesn't work unless my VPN's on? Who knows? Who knows what's actually happening, right? There's 1,000 things I could also point out, but I don't want to look too crazy showing why isn't my Xbox? There's 1,000 things that are happening right now that are all weirdly tied to certain people and certain technological concepts that are, and it's not just me, by the way. I've been doing research and there's a lot of people in this field that are feeling the same things. Now, regardless of whether that's what's happening, this is possible, and this is the technocratic future that we're talking about, where you can be switched off. They go, we don't like your political views. And if you think that sounds crazy, well, wake up. Look at what you're staring at. Venmo is saying this due to several concerns regarding your activity. Remember, my exterminator, the entire 2020 year was only this one person. That's it. And apparently there's several concerns. I guess my exterminator is a little too contentious for them. But it says, as you can see here, they have the sole discretion that they decide whether I breach their terms. That it's, well, I'll read it entirely. It says, as stated as in our user agreement, which means, yeah, they just write whatever they want. And apparently it doesn't have to apply to the law at all. If we determine in our sole discretion that you may have breached our terms, that you or your activity or your account activity present a risk or security concern, we may take action to protect you. And then in bold, we're not going to respond anymore because we see what you're trying to do. Too late. I already got you to say what I wanted, right? This is the point. Obviously, it's not my activity. So I am a security concern. You know why? Because PayPal tapped him on the shoulder and said, that's a bad guy. This is where we are. Now, you guys know that I'm not a bad guy. In fact, I'm going out of my way to help people that don't have a voice. And, you know, that little pesky concept of verifying my claims with peer-reviewed research, you know, exactly the thing they don't like. I've already spent too much time on wasting it on Venmo, but I want you guys to see where this is going. This is what's going to happen. It's already happening. Now, the point that I was making when we started, this is what we need to think about. Great point, Philip, and I'm really glad this was made. As he says, the DOJ, the Department of Justice, the group that just came out and said, yeah, mandate those things. That's totally illegal. It's not, though. It's like, just because they say that doesn't mean there's not laws we can point to right now that say that's literally not okay. Not just because it's experimental and unapproved, which is a huge part of it right now, but just because you're a free human being that has, supposed to have, agency, choice, whether international or in the United States. They don't care about that, though, because fear, danger, means we can just ignore inalienable rights that shall not be infringed. Of course, makes sense, right? But as it says, didn't the DOJ sign off on enhanced interrogation techniques? They did, that's right. What about warrantless wiretapping? Yes, they did that too. Not sure they should be the arbiter of the right course of action, right? Great point, Philip. The two-party illusion enables COVID clown world continuation. Completely agree. The point being, the DOJ has been responsible for some of the worst things you can imagine. So have a lot of the people involved with these actions. The point is, you shouldn't just take them at face value because authority, that's what's led us here, guys. Hopefully we can start to see that. Now, Here we begin the discussion of how incredibly ridiculous this all is. Here is this, first of all, disclosed TV, because this is where I saw it first. More than 110,000 breakthrough cases in the U.S. And there's a quote from the article. I just want to give Disclosed a shout out because that's where we saw it first. Now here, Oh, that's right. I did this quickly before while I was waiting. I was going, oh, wait, I got my highlights back. Nope, I didn't. The point being, again, forgive me if there's lags on the just as you can see really quickly, like jumping ahead. If I were to click on this article, it has to reload itself, you see, because it restarted, just so you know where I'm talking about. So bear with me when that happens, and I'm going to try to remember where my notes were. The bottom line point is here, as you can see, CDC scaled back hunt for breakthrough cases just as the Delta variant grew. That's a very nice way of saying they stopped telling you about this big problem right as they saw it becoming a problem. That's really honest, isn't it? That's what's called hiding the truth from you because they think the truth will cause vaccine hesitancy. Now, doesn't the truth suggest, or at least have another, doesn't the truth show you a reason why you might not want to take? Yes, it does. So that's lying to you, so you'll do what they want. Another way to say that, right? Bloomberg identified more than 100,000 vaccine breakthroughs. Now, what's interesting is this is Bloomberg doing so. Now, as you'll see, is a lot of things throughout the discussion today. They're going out of their way to do their own research into this, not even to say that I'm trusting Bloomberg or Associated Press. But what you'll find is whichever way it goes, it's never really about the full data picture, right? You'll find in any of this discussion with breakthrough cases that, weirdly enough, it's right here, actually. I'll read through my highlights. It's only based on 35 states. So doesn't that guarantee that it's more than 100,000? Yes, quite obviously. Now, what's ridiculous is that's still the only way it's going to be reported. And even that will not even brush across the CNN Fox News world because the mainstream channels, which, you know, the vast majority of the normies actually watch, don't read the papers. They won't know about it because they won't report it. Now, as it says here, while the CDC stopped tracking what we know as vaccine breakthrough cases, I mean, even ask yourself why that makes sense. Why would you stop counting something that's showing you that the vaccine is not stopping the cases? We're not talking about some, you know, 0.01% that's breaking through because more vaccinated means more things. No, that's not what's happening. They keep pretending like that's what it means. Well, the more vaccinated, the more things we'll see slip through because it's not perfectly, it doesn't work perfectly. Well, if we saw a rare amount of it, like they keep trying to say, then that would make sense, but we're not seeing that. Israel's data alone blows that out of the water. Or even Malta, for instance, which we'll talk about in a second, 74% vaccination rate with a mask mandate on forever. And they're blowing up over there in cases, but not deaths. We'll get to that again in a minute. But the point is they're screaming about cases and places with high vaccination rates and mask mandates are going through the roof. They won't tell you that. We'll show you. But why would you stop reporting on these? Because you're trying to hide the information. The same reason that they're using a 28 and lower cycle threshold for the PCR test on breakthrough cases and up to 45 on the side of COVID-19 tests. If you understand the PCR concept, this is an obvious illusion. I'm going to touch on that too. Getting ahead of myself. Now it says in May they did this. The consequences of that choice are now only beginning to show. You mean the thing we were screaming about was a bad idea, that it's now being proved out to be a bad idea? Weird. We were right again. This is getting ridiculous. Like literally, I mean, this has always been happening throughout all the foreign policy discussions going back years. Here's what they're going to do over here in Iraq. And oh, that's what happened, you know, but now it's like one after the other, moment after moment. AstraZeneca is causing blood clots. Fake news. You're censored. Oh, that looks like they are causing blood clots. Oh my gosh, it's causing myocarditis. Look at the information. You're fake news. Censored. Oh, it is causing myocarditis over and over and over. And we're only doing this with peer-reviewed research. There's no way to misunderstand that, guys. There's no way to misunderstand that. We're being censored because we are not part of the elitist circle and because we're saying things either before they're supposed to be said or things they never want you to see. It says at a time, the agency had identified only 10,000 cases. And remember, this is where we last talked about it before they released this number. They're only 10,000, and that's because it's working. That's what everybody claimed, which made no sense at all. And now you can see that they were either lying or completely uninformed, and they censored us for telling you the truth. Then, 10,262 cases across the U.S. where a fully vaccinated person had tested positive for COVID. Now, remember, this is a test that they're lowering the threshold over and not testing as broadly as they are on the other side. So that is a guarantee to be lower than it should be. And even the CDC says that. It says most people who got infected after vaccination showed few symptoms and appeared to be low risk of affecting others. This is what they thought, right? Remember, this is what they told you. The media said this because they blindly parroted what they're told from authority because that's good journalism, right? And they were wrong. And they censored us for going, look, here's what the science says. censored, but trust the science. It says, but in months since, the number of vaccine breakthrough cases has grown, and as has the risk they present. And while the CDC has stopped tracking such cases, because that makes sense, that many states have not. Bloomberg gathered data from 35 states and identified 111,748 vaccine breakthrough cases through the end of July, more than 10 times CDC's end of April tally. That's just 35 states. And that's assuming they're even categorizing it correctly. And that's assuming that they're even doing the testing properly. Right? This is a huge caveat. And this is what we have squeaking through with the illusion in place. What do you think that shows you? This is the concept of saying, as Harvard and Health and Human Services told you with their report that I've shown you many times, that the VAERS, Vaccine Adverse Reporting System, is only at most 1% of the total number. That's a general average because it's wildly underreported. They don't care about that. And that's the same concept here. It's going to be a lot more. It is a lot more. Now, I don't know where else I left off down here. Let me quickly skim and see if there's anything that pops out at me. I mean, they're saying the number of them should rise as more people get vaccinated. And this is the argument where they keep making. Well, the more people that get vaccinated, then of course you're going to have more number. But that doesn't add up. This is the percentage, the ratio here is outrageous. On top of that, it doesn't really make sense to pretend that, well, since vaccinated people are getting sick, that proves the vaccine works. I mean, there's no logic to that. But it says the CDC said when it announced the change in May that it would continue to collect the data. Now, why then did this only get released after the fact? Remember, the CDC director stated that the change in the mask mandates and everything else, what was this, a week ago, 4 or 5 days? The point is she stated this, and it's now turning out that they stated that change based on this data. So ask yourself, why didn't they show you this data to justify the change? Everybody was going, what? Why do I have to wear a mask? I've got my injections. And they didn't explain. So why did they try to hold this back? Only until Bloomberg and the mainstream media pushes this out. Now, maybe that's because that's how they wanted it to work, to make it look like the mainstream media was doing its job. In any case, there's nothing but deception happening and sidesteps and shell games of information. This is not how honest information works. They're hiding things from you and using it and leaking it as they see fit. But it says the decision to follow, not to track, But that decision to follow, not track mild, that's got to be a typo. As an editor, I can't stand that stuff. But that decision to follow, not track mild or asymptomatic cases is now being questioned. Of course it is. It's not being questioned. It was a lie. It was wrong. It was deceitful. They hid the information from you until they were forced to admit it because it was blowing up in their face. This is the same thing as them screaming at you that it's only on one side of the table. And now that this is coming out, it's obviously not. If 100,000 or more of only 35 states and barely being, and even the CDC admits it's completely limited data that they haven't done fully, and that's why they didn't report it, how can it possibly be a super rare, only limited case kind of scenario? And we'll get into it next, where we talk about deaths and information, and it pretty much proves unequivocally that what they're telling you at the very least is not true. It says at the same time they stopped tracking the cases, the Delta variant began to spread in the U.S. And what they're trying to do here is link it with the Delta variant alone. That's not true either, because we've been seeing these breakthrough cases long before Delta, if that's even what's actually happening. Now, there's plenty of people that said the same thing. When she saw the CDC stop reporting this, her heart sank, right? These are the experts in their mind, right? These are the mainstream experts. These are people on their side. And even they are coming out and go, so let me ask you this. Why didn't she step up when they did this and say, hey, this is a terrible mistake? Because they toe the line until they're allowed to say it. This is the problem. Doctors will tell you this. They're terrified to speak up because they will be attacked by the vaccine gospel mob. That's what's happening right now. Well, I don't want to keep trying to peruse through it. God, it drives me through the roof, as I'm sure they would like. There's plenty of other things that I wanted to go over, but we'll keep moving so I don't waste too much time perusing. This is exactly why these things happen. Now, this is from the NPR. NPR, Delta variant infections are more likely are likely more severe, an internal CDC report obtained, which we'll show you next, citing data that indicates vaccinated people who get infected may spread it just as easily as the unvaccinated, which is just like we showed you the other day. The Washington Post, I think 2 days ago, reported, as we read then, that vaccinated people can potentially have as much viral load as the unvaccinated, which means the same thing is happening. If you take the vaccine and you have the same viral load based on certain circumstances, the same thing would happen with an unvaccinated person. You could get it and maybe be sick and maybe not. It's the same thing. All that shows you is that you're just as capable of getting sick and spreading it, which is exactly what they're telling you today. So add that together. If you can have as high the viral load as the unvaccinated person, if vaccinated people who get infected can spread it just as easily, what in the world are we talking about? Yeah, the war has changed. The war, of course, because it's a war on your body. As Whitney Webb put it, your body is the new battlefield. This is where we are. This is the new foreign policy. We're in the biosecurity state, right? We just graduated from 9/11 to whatever's coming next. Or maybe this is it. The point is, this is a war to them. And they seemingly ignoring all the data. But as I said, do I even need to say it? I guess so. This was exactly what we've been telling you based on peer-reviewed science and being censored for, which is true this whole time. How many times in a row must we be overtly ahead of the mainstream before the average person starts catching on? Apparently one more, at least. NPR, Delta variant infections are likely more severe. The same thing we're just showing. You know, here is the Washington Post. Now, this drives me crazy because I went through this with a fine-tooth comb and it's so many things to point out to you. But what they're pointing out here is that the internal documents, which we'll show you next, are changing the changing the game here. And people are ignoring it, or at the very least reporting it very subjectively, which is otherwise called cherry picking, the same thing they try to pretend we're doing while combing through a full study on air. They're telling you, well, it means the Delta variant's dangerous, so get injected, right? That's what they're breaking this down to. That's not what this is talking about. I mean, that is one thing they're trying to sell you on. But if it's dangerous, who is it dangerous for? What does the data actually show you? What is Israel's data showing you? Well, according to them, they're seven times more likely to catch the Delta variant than people who've already had an infection. And remember, even the CDC tells you that over 160 million people in this country have already been infected. The WHO, Nature, and even the NIH tell you that you have lasting immunity, possibly the rest of your life, after a natural infection. So if half the country, if not more, already have a better immunity than the injection they're telling you about, and those people are at 0.008% to catching it, according to Israel's data, and people who are injected have a seven times better chance catching it, then you add on all the rest of it, there's a no-brainer here. This is a no-brainer, guys. All this data together, which is their data, that's what's so important about this. I'm not pulling some fringe study from some weird place. I'm looking at their information and just showing it to you on a full scale. And what does it show you? Pretty unequivocally that this is not the picture they're painting for you. Now it says the Delta variant of the coronavirus appears to cause more severe illness in earlier variants and spreads as easy as chickenpox. Now what they're talking about here is not backed up by the information severe illness. All we can see is that this is more contagious. That's across the board. In fact, meaning you can catch it. Not that it's actually more severe, that you get sicker or that it can hurt you more. Now I'm not saying that it can't. What from my data, from my research, it's pretty clear that people who are vaccinated are the ones getting hurt more, far more by this. And I think that's because of the injection. I think it's because antibody-dependent enhancement and other things we'll touch on in a minute. But what we will see in all the actual information, even from the CDC, what they would say at most is likely more severe. What does that translate to? They don't know. So at this point, all the way to this point, if they're still saying likely, if Biden and everybody else is still saying possibly more dangerous, still, after all they have and all the stuff, it's not more dangerous, and by the very least for everybody. I think what they're trying to hide is the clear information that points to the vaccinated, which is only starting to leak out. But it says the documents and internal CDC presentations shared with the CDC, within the CDC and obtained by the Washington Post, it captures the struggle of the nation's top public health agency to persuade the public to embrace vaccination, which of course, because the idea of trying to persuade someone to take something that's supposed to be saving their life makes perfect sense, right? They always try to pretend like it's this grand effort of these misinformation conspiracy theorists that are out of their parents' basement, yet somehow simultaneously overtaking the entire health apparatus in the mainstream media, right? Either we're better at you than this, or we're fringe weirdos in our basements. You can't have it both ways, right? The point is the truth shines through, and it's very clearly working here because they're pretending like we are spreading too much misinformation and it just can't compete. Now it says the document strikes an urgent note revealing the agency knows it must revamp the public's messaging. Let's see, where were we? I finished reading it and was significantly more concerned than when I began. The data and studies cited in the document played a key role in revamping the recommendations. This is the point for vaccinated or not wearing masks, right? So the information I'm about to show you next was why they made these choices, but they didn't tell people that. I don't even understand why that would be. Yeah. Okay, this was one I highlighted. The presentation highlights the daunting task for the CDC faces. It must continue to emphasize the proven efficacy of the vaccines in preventing illness and death while acknowledging mild to breakthrough infections may not be so rare after all. Now, that's what they're saying, right? It must continue to emphasize the thing that's not proven, the thing that's absolutely not proven at preventing either. Now, understand the data that we've shown you directly from Pfizer, directly from Moderna, makes it very clear. The only thing that they've shown is a lessening of mild to moderate symptoms. That's coming directly from their own information. So to pretend that this has any efficacy at preventing severe or death, it's just a lie. And I continue to show you that. That's come from mainstream media, by the way, as well as Pfizer and FDA, all these places. I've walked through them on the show. Tal Zaks from Moderna himself said point blank that we weren't paid enough to find out whether this can stop death, and we could have just done it if we'd gotten more money. Who paid for it? That's the U.S. government we're talking about. They made a conscious choice to not pay to find this out. And we're clearly seeing that that's not the case. If vaccinated people are getting sick and then dying, what are we talking about? But yes, the main point here is, regardless of what they said first, acknowledging that breakthrough infections may not be so rare after all. You don't say. You mean that thing they keep screaming is rare, it's rare, it's rare, it's rare, but as we see them rise up everywhere? One more topic that we keep pointing to that we're censored for that comes out exactly the same way, but in little steps. And that vaccinated individuals are transmitting the virus. Now, right there, if vaccinated people are transmitting the virus, there is absolutely no possible way that they can say you have to take this. You're forced to take this, because if you forced to take it so you can have a pass to get in the door and still be able to spread it, how in the world does that make sense? Right now, they're saying, well, you either get a vaccine or you have to take a test that is a high false positive rate, even according to the CDC. Neither side of those makes sense. But the point is that if you're saying the vaccinated don't need to take the test, yet they can still spread it, are you not worried they can spread it after the fact? What about the hundreds of thousands of people we're talking about who just did? The only way that makes sense is if it's about adherence to the injection, not about a concern about spreading something, getting this in your arm. If they're the ones telling you they can still spread it, and all they're doing is saying, get the vaccine or you'll be tested, they don't care about the facts, the science, the data. They care about getting this in your arm. The agency must move the goalposts of success. And of course, the CDC declined to comment, because that's what you usually do when you're totally transparent about what you're doing, right? You hide what you're... I mean, this is the Washington Post, for crying out loud, reaching out to the CDC saying, hey, you care to comment on this new information? No, we don't want to comment. That's what politicians do. That's not what health agencies do. Why in the world would that be? It says, although it's rare, right? The opposite of what Washington Post itself just observed. We believe that at an individual level, vaccinated people may spread the virus. Okay, exactly. Which is why we updated our recommendation, except that you did so and you didn't tell people that until now it came out, right? So now you're retroactively admitting why. Why wouldn't you come out and say, hey, vaccinated people can spread this. That's why we're telling you to wear masks. Well, because that admits that the vaccine doesn't work properly, at the very least, as well as they said it did. Exactly like we keep telling you. It says, waiting even days to publish the data could result in needless suffering, and the public health professionals, we cannot accept that, except that's what you did. That's exactly what happened. Right? The presentation came 2 days after the CDC director announced the reversal. So you let people wonder what was happening for 2 days. And apparently you are aware that waiting to do that does result in needless suffering and public health. Right? Exactly. So you know that, you stated it, and then you waited 2 days anyway. Fantastic. Even people who are vaccinated should wear masks indoors. Now, this is what we told you was going to happen. We told you this was coming. We told you this was going to come back. So too are the lockdowns, as I understand it. I told you this was going to happen based on a lot of other factors. As I understand it right now from a lot of different sources, that the White House is actively considering another lockdown for August. For the country, understand. Even though the lockdown was shown to be catastrophically damaging. You know, child suicide up 150%. Everybody losing jobs and livelihoods and, you know, psychological issues through the roof, opioid addictions and drug addictions going wild, you know, but that all's good because we're in danger. Even though it's been shown to actually increase the spread, as all of the data shows, but who cares? Because as we told you, regardless of what the experts are saying, regardless of what the data shows, it was all about adherence to the agenda. The document presents new science, but also suggests a new strategy. Now, this makes me laugh. It says, we've done a great job of telling the public that these are miracle vaccines. Okay. We have probably fallen a little into the trap of over-reassurance. which is one of the challenges of any crisis communication circumstance. So what you're saying is we oversold the things that aren't actually as good as we thought or didn't care to think at all. Just we know the agenda, the objective is to sell these things to you. So instead of going, here's the full picture and the real data, oh, and here's the informed consent information, which we'll go through in a minute, which shows that you can have antibody-dependent enhancement and all sorts of other things. No, they just lie. That's not there. It works. Safe and effective. It's safe and effective. It's completely safe and effective. Just take it. Except the fact that unapproved does not mean safe and effective. It means we do not know. And this is what we keep telling you. It's right on the FDA website. Things that are unapproved, which this is, according to every single FDA document, which we'll show you again, as I do all the time, over and over and over. This is the update one from June 25th, right here. There is no FDA approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19. Zero. There's none. There's zero. It doesn't exist. So if it's unapproved, based on the FDA's own definition, that means very clearly that it has not been proven to be effective or safe. What it means under the emergency use authorization, which you can also look up on the FDA website, is that they decided that the known at the moment information about the vaccine, even though we don't know the full safety profile, is workable if we believe the danger is higher on the other side, which we now know is not the case, right? We've seen that. The information they're showing you, under 25, it's like 0.08% risk. It's not there. You're not in danger, most of the population, unless you're over 50, 60 with comorbidities. And even then, that's their information, so I question it. But the point is that they're telling you the risk is too much over here, so we're going to allow you to try this thing that we don't know for sure about. We've always known that. They all know it. They're just lying to you about that process now. Something like Fauci saying, no, it's just a normal step in the process. No, it's not. It's not a normal step in the process when you need an emergency to justify that statement. So a national emergency is how these drugs always get approved? Obviously not. That's directly from Fauci's mouth. That's a normal step in the process. No, it's not. They're lying to you, like so many other times we've shown you. Well, I'll leave it there, so I'm not taking too much time perusing these damn things, but let's keep going. Now here, well, something else I wanted to show you is if we're talking about the point that there's this big problem in the rise of cases, right? And here's what's happening in the United States, so we're told. You remember using a PCR test that is completely invalid for this purpose, as even the creator of the test himself said before he weirdly died right before this all started. Bottom line is, it doesn't tell you if you're infectious or not. And even the most recent studies from the most respected outlets out there in regard to scientific research told us that. It's not meant for this purpose. We don't know for sure. It's a yes or no. You don't know. And by and large, most, and I'm actually going to get to a study again, a lot of these are all coming up today in the day show showing you that's the case, that they don't know for sure. Since I mentioned it, we can just briefly point to it. Manitoba chief microbiologist tells you 56% of the cases are not infectious. More than 50% of these cases. It's just a PCR, yes, because of a high cycle threshold. This is a chief microbiologist and laboratory in Canada. But, you know, who cares about that? The point is, we're seeing this spike in cases, they're telling us, right? Now, this spike has been going on since when? Look, starting around July, right? So a whole month has gone by. So that means arguably based on their, you know, rigmarole here that after 2 weeks, we should see a spike in deaths, right? Because, oh my gosh, we're seeing a spike in cases. In 2 weeks is the incubation period and so on. But that's not what's happening. And you'll see that across the board, especially specifically with Delta. So if that's not happening, why are we acting like there's a huge problem, right? The reality is we're overly testing just like we were in the beginning based on a lot of factors they're screaming about. And the more you test with a PCR test, the higher illusion you will get, which we'll also talk about today as we go through it. Now let's jump into the CDC document so I can show you what they're saying. One thing I thought was very strange. Now, by the way, same thing. You see all these tabs here are all the same. All these were different points, every single one of them. But because it restarted, I lost them, but I'm sure we can scroll through this quite quickly. One other thing I found strange was this is a different document that somebody else shared. And weirdly enough, it has the people's names blocked out. I don't know what that suggests, but I just thought that was strange. Here's the one the one directly from their website. Or from the people that, you know, from the Washington Post who got it from their website. Meredith McMarrow, MD. I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't want that show. But as it says right in the beginning, I found this to be funny. Talking about breakthrough cases, and this is they're talking about important to update communications describing breakthrough cases as rare or a small percentage of cases. Right? Is that because they are or because that's a talking point? Right? Because they're not rare at all. Washington Post even just admitted that. But make sure you tell people they're rare, guys, because that's what we have to do. And I'm sure Fox followed right through with what they're supposed to do. Rare Rare 33-year-old fully vaccinated woman reportedly dies from COVID complications in rare breakthrough case. Well, it doesn't seem very rare at all. In fact, if 100,000 people are, come on. It's just funny. Fox toeing the line like everybody else, but continuing down the line. Right here, this is another one that stood out to me. At current incidence, 35,000 symptomatic infections per week among 162 million vaccinated Americans. 35,000 a week? Like, I don't know if that was meant to be released like this, but think about what this is showing you. 35,000 a week. Right. So if we're looking at these cases right here, at this peak right now, they're telling us there's 94,000. Down here at this low part, we're talking about, remember, the Delta has been going on this whole time, right? Since March, May. Okay. So at this low time, we're talking about 16, 13,000. And we're over here talking about 35,000 a week of people who are vaccinated getting infected. Why is that not being reported? 35,000 a week? That's not rare, guys. That's not rare at all. I'm not talking about the ratio between the two. I'm talking about the fact that 35,000 every week are being told they have COVID-19, even though they're vaccinated. That is huge. Do you realize how that is a huge point that they're just keeping completely hidden from you? This wasn't supposed to be let out, remember? Now, let's see if any of these, I know there was a couple more points in here that I had completely set up to show you guys. For those that are new to the show, it's usually not like this. I just resigned myself to just jump into it tonight so it wasn't too late, so you guys could not have to wait for me to reorganize. I will not let them win. That's the bottom line. Okay. Well, there was one more point, I think, down here at the end. Bottom line is they're showing you right here, breakthrough infections may be as transmissible as unvaccinated cases. Just like the Washington Post told you before. And the bottom line is if you can be as transmissible, if you can have the same viral load, if hundreds of thousands of these people are 35,000 a week, there's no way people can pretend like a passport or a test or any of these things are going to make any difference. This is just incredibly staggering to me. And the worst part about it is this is directly from the CDC, guys. The Washington Post just reported this. And yet right now you've got people telling you that it's only because of the vaccinated. Oh, those unvaccinated or the unvaccinated. Oh, those unvaccinated people are hurting everybody. Well, clearly that's not what's happening. And that's it. I know there was more points in there about that. But you know what? As always, guys, I'll include these for you to look at. And you can look through them for yourself. Why I had all these points. So much being missed. Okay, so Robert Malone, inventor, co-inventor of the mRNA technology being applied to the vaccine, the injections today, somebody who I've had on the show. Here's the interview for yourself. I hope people out there that are interested would take a look at this, because this is somebody who is at this. Somebody who the mainstream would consider pro-vaccine, which this is a ridiculous thing to say one way or the other, because it's not as simple as that. There's plenty of different things and lots of, you know, concepts to include, but he is somebody who's openly speaking out about the danger of what these things are doing. He was in fact censored for speaking out, and he invented the technology, for crying out loud. Worth your time to listen to. Now he says a keynote from the CDC slide deck, which we just showed you, quote, risk of reinfection with Delta may be higher compared to Alpha variant, one of the previous, but only if prior infection 180 days earlier. This is what we're going to get into next. That suggests waning protection from natural infection at 180 days and is another antibody-dependent enhancement body crown. For those who don't remember what ADE is, it basically means that you'll get the injection, and then once you come across the natural virus, it is even worse than it would have been if you hadn't had the injection. So literally the opposite of what these things are supposed to do, and 100% can happen. We'll get to it. I have that study coming up here in a minute. Now, as he's saying, I take no pleasure in observing that this sounds a lot like vindication of much of what I have been saying, and it's what I've been saying as well. And by the way, Reuters, the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein is a toxin, because these are, you know, Reuters fact checks. Well, there's plenty of peer-reviewed scientific research we continue to show you. Salk Institute, one of the most respected outlets out there in this regard, openly keeps telling you this study proving that the spike protein alone, not from SARS-CoV-2, alone, meaning the one that could also come from the injection put in your body, was enough to cause disease. I've went over this by itself on previous shows. I've shown you at least 8 different studies that independently peer-reviewed studies that come to the conclusion that spike protein alone is hurting you, whether it was from SARS-CoV-2 or from the injection that produces the spike protein. Remember, right? The injection that has the lipid nanoparticles that encapsulates the mRNA instructions that then creates the spike protein, which then is spread throughout your bloodstream, as the other peer-reviewed study that we keep showing you proves that 11 of 13 that were tested had spike proteins in their bloodstream within an hour. That completely challenges the narrative they keep spinning about it staying in your arm. That was peer-reviewed research from one of the most respected outlets. This is the Salk Institute telling you the same. Cause disease. That's what he's talking about. And Reuters will be like, fake news. Well, what's Reuters listening to? The talking points. The authority figures. This is the peer-reviewed research. Are we supposed to trust the science? Well, here we are. And you know I'm being facetious when I say that. Nobody should be trusting anything. As Denis Rancourt, PhD, who I've also had on the show, said himself, there's no such thing as trusting the science. There's trusting the scientific method. Science is always evolving. That means that that means the word science, the statement science is settled, is literally ignorant. There's no way science is settled because it's always evolving. Even Jen Psaki was ridiculously forced to admit that, as she's over here saying, this is settled and we know. And then somebody put it to her and she goes, well, the science is evolving and we take the new information. So you just made yourself look like an idiot because you said the diametric opposite. That is the antithesis of what you just said. She does it anyway, though, because she just goes along to get along like the rest of them. But spike protein was enough. And as he points out here in the UK, nearly 90% of the adult population have had a first vaccine dose and over 70% of adults have had both doses. So under their argument, they should have already reached herd immunity, right? The problem is that this injection is not doing what they say it's supposed to. And we've played the clip of this many times, the concept of it actually removing the blood or the antibodies from your blood. This is what the mainstream reported, and what this is exactly why the Red Cross said you cannot donate convalescent blood if you've had the injection.
And your COVID-19 vaccine, you're going to want to listen to this. The Red Cross says anyone who has received their COVID-19 vaccine cannot donate convalescent plasma to help other COVID-19 patients in hospitals. That plasma is made up of antibodies from people who have recovered from the virus. But the vaccine wipes out those antibodies, making the convalescent plasma ineffective in treating other COVID-19 patients.
Exactly. So it wipes out the antibodies in your blood. That's not what this is supposed to do. So even if you want to argue that that's just a byproduct and it produces its own, it is removing the natural antibodies created, which gives you lasting immunity for the rest of your life, according to the NIH, the WHO, and nature. So why would that be the case? And why would 70% based on their narrative not be enough? Because it's not working the way they said it would. It says UK daily case counts are rising. The Delta, so we're told, which I'll get to in a minute. I don't even know how they could possibly know based on the information. It turns out they don't. But it says while death rate appears to remain relatively level. Now, what does this seem to show you? There is a rise, it would seem. I believe based on the data, my opinion, but based on the data, that this rise is vaccinated people that are struggling because of this. And the cases are through the roof because they're testing all over the place. And remember, the test is absolutely false positives based on their high cycle threshold on this side of the illusion. This is very clear. Again, that point we made today because we go through this. Never said that so much in a show. It's weird how much stuff we actually have today. It's incredible. But they are showing you this illusion and the lie. Now, the idea that it's because of unvaccinated is ridiculous. The idea that unvaccinated are creating variants does not add up, and it doesn't even align with the science from before we got here. It simply does not. Here is where we are right now. 49.9%. Let's refresh and see. 49.9. Now, like I keep saying, inevitably, this is going to roll over whether it actually is actually that or not. I'm sure that'll make it happen. But right of this moment still, which I keep hoping people realize, that after all the coercion, after all the manipulation, after offering people $1 million and Krispy Kremes and waffles and beer and every other possible thing you can imagine, free ice cream for children, which is really scary, you are still the majority. You are still the majority, period. How is it possible that the majority of this country has already made their mind up? And yet they're still pushing it. Why? Because no was never an answer. No was never on the table. Has to be clear by now. We tried the voluntary thing, Bill de Blasio says. Right, showing you that it was an illusion to begin with, that the voluntary thing was placating you when if it didn't work, they were going to force you anyway. Shocking, I know. But here is the next part, and this is an adding on to that first discussion, right? So everything we just talked about, consider that under, and then add this to it. Early vaccines, vaccinees, weird word to use, people who got the vaccine early are twice as likely to catch COVID as later recipients. Let that sink in, right? So we're talking about everything else we just discussed in regard to higher viral load or same viral load or seven times more likely than people of natural infection, people that can spread it just as easily. And then you add on the fact that if you've had it 180 days or earlier, which by the way, should be, the argument should be that that's the most protected based on their narrative. They're telling you, nope, doesn't happen. Twice as likely now, in fact. So that is why we're seeing this explosion in vaccinated cases, the one they're trying to hide from you, because the data seems pretty obvious to me. You know, so look, early, so 180 days ago, that's most of the people who are vaccinated. So they're telling you that most of the people who are vaccinated are right now twice as likely to catch this thing that people who previously had an infection, which is over half the country, are almost, what was it again? I'll get to it in a second. It was basically not going to happen. 0.008, I believe I'm saying it correctly, chance to catch this if you had it previously. It's like this should be put to bed already. The information in front of us should put this to bed a long time ago, at the very least, that you don't, that you have a choice for this thing that doesn't actually do what they keep saying it does. As it says right here, people vaccinated before late February are twice as likely to catch the coronavirus as other inoculated Israelis, twice as likely as other people who were injected. That's incredible to me. This just continues to add up, and it's showing you that this is, one, not even close to what they said, but two, that they don't even know, that they're guessing when they tell you this stuff. But you know why? Because there's never been long-term studies. As we just showed you the other day, at most you could say 6 months have been done. And you know what the median is from before this? 23 months. That came directly from the senior editor of the British Medical Journal, Peter Doshi. He's calling this out. The senior editor of the British Medical Journal, one of the most respected scientific publications that we're supposed to listen to, they tell us. He's out there going, this is crazy. They haven't done this long enough. 6 months is not enough. And that's why we can't know the long-term effects of this, which again, we'll talk about in a minute. Going through this, just in COVID-19 vaccinations of elderly population, age 60 or over, are going to have a third dose. Oh, great. So it works. It's safe and effective. It works perfectly, but you're going to need a third one now. Right. And people who are refusing the third one are becoming anti-vaxxers. That's not a joke. It's exactly what I told you. And now it's actually happening. You've gotten two doses. You went along with it. And now you're going, well, I don't want the third one. Oh, anti-vaxxer. So how in the world are you now an anti-vaxxer when you took two of them and you just don't want the third? Well, welcome to the club, because it doesn't matter what you actually think. If you're not going along entirely with what they want, you're now crazy, fringe, terrorist, white supremacist, anti, everything they want to just throw at you with no actual due diligence. They're pushing this on the most, think about this. I mean, is this eugenics in front of us? Why in the world would you focus on the 60s and over with these things that are clearly having the highest effect on people that are 60? It just doesn't add up unless you see the full picture. As Robert Malone also points out, study, these previously infected are at increased risk of side effects when they take the vaccine. So on top of that, we have people that are right now who have already had this, the 160 million we talked about in the United States, probably a lot more than that. Again, that's their narrative. I'm not saying necessarily that I believe that. I'm saying that they're telling us 160 million people have had this. And the study is telling you that those people with natural immunity, according to the WHO and everybody else, if they take the injection, they have increased risk of side effects. Yet they're telling you to do it anyway. They're forcing it. They're saying, well, we don't care about natural infection. We don't care about natural immunity. Now, how does that make sense? That shows you that it's not about keeping you safe. If it was just about making sure we reach herd immunity, keep everyone safe, well, natural immunity would be the first thing we make sure we have. Because we all know, previous to this situation, COVID-19 clown world, that was what you strived for. You making a vaccine to try to be as good as natural immunity. But not in COVID clown world today. That's been flip-flopped. And now natural immunity is not as good as vaccine. That's not true. And everything before this shows you that. And doctors like Robert Malone will happily point that out. So here's the study itself. As it says, prior COVID-19 infection was associated with increased risk of side effects. Right? And this is on a preprint server, but it's also here posted, which means it has been confirmed, accepted, and published. Right? So peer-reviewed research telling you that if you've had this before and then you get the injection, well, you have an increased risk of side effects. Why is that not being something that's been told to people? Why are you not being informed about that before you give your consent, as they're supposed to be doing? Well, there's a lot of other things they're not telling you. Yet they're going to force people to take this for a job, even though they know based on, or they don't care to know, that the science shows you that they have an increased risk. There's a thousand reasons why this is completely against the rules, illegal, wrong, immoral. Israeli data shows South African variant able to break through. So now they realize that whether we're talking Delta or not, there's a lot of these things popping up all over the place. So they claim, and they're saying that pretty much all these things are stopping this thing from working. So how does it make sense to force people to take something they're continually pointing out doesn't work against the new things? Why? So they can jam a booster of the same thing down your face, which they're doing now? Like, it doesn't make sense to say, here's a booster of the same injection that doesn't stop these variants to help you stop those variants. That's what they're doing. Take a third one. It didn't work the first two times. Take a third one. Maybe it'll work this time. But here's the interesting point about this. The South African variant. Now, there's a couple points here. One is that realized, as I keep pointing out, all of 2020, where the biggest spike was, we're told, right? The biggest spike of all this. Before the mass injections, we're being told that unvaccinated people cause the variants, right? So why wasn't there a surge of the variants during the beginning, the first 6 months, where it was the biggest part, when nobody was injected? And then weird how right after the injection started, we suddenly started seeing variants like every 30 seconds. Doesn't that not make sense to their narrative? Of course. It only makes sense when you realize that the variants are coming from the vaccine. And this is what the science was showing us before we got to COVID clown world. And I covered this. I hope you will watch this entirely. The title is Are COVID Vaccines Creating Variants? Let's look at what the scientific research says. And you can have all the source material, like in every show that I have. It's always listed. And you'll find in the information that there's been a lot of studies. And what they found before all this was that the flu vaccines were likely causing variants. Why? Because it's pretty simple, guys. And they make it very easy in the information. If a virus is coming into your body, if there's nothing really in the way, it just does what it does. But if there's something that it needs to evolve to get around, like something blocking its way, well, that's when it's driven to evolve, like any other organism. It's very simple. So what we're staring at here is the obvious reality that after the injections, correlation is not causation, but you can see it immediately correlate with how many variants were popping up after the injections came out, that it's very clear that that seems to be driving the variants. But regardless of that, ask yourself this. The argument is that the unvaccinated are causing these things, and until everyone's vaccinated, those are going to keep popping up. So imagine everybody is getting injected, right? Pfizer in the United States. Then something comes from South Africa, but it's going through the injection, right? So how is it the American unvaccinated fault if it's something coming from South Africa? How does that make sense? So you're literally pretending that until all of South Africa is vaccinated, that it can spread anywhere to people who aren't, right? This is exactly the narrative they're trying to spin, that everybody's in danger until everybody's safe. Or, you know, that they're basically saying that until the entire world is vaccinated, everybody's in danger. That's what it's going to skip to. Once the country, it's going to go everybody. That's what they've already stated. The logic is not there. Even remotely, this is going to continue to happen based on what they're doing to people. Now, here's scientific research we keep showing you from the UK, telling you down here in bullet point 9, which nobody talked about, coming from the Sage's the 93rd Sage meeting for the UK. If you're not familiar with Sage, they're a group driving a lot of the policy around COVID-19. Here's what this says under bullet point 9. There are 4 major risks associated with high numbers of infections. Now, here's the interesting part about this. Right now, you can see that at least hundreds of thousands, 35,000 a week are coming from vaccinated people. So they just told us. They're telling you other people are infected with the PCR test. That could be the case. It says there are an increase in hospitalizations and deaths that are associated with high numbers of infections. It says more long COVID, which I don't even know how we could possibly know that, since we haven't had the time to know, since we're long implies years and we're not even there yet. Workforce absence. I believe a lot of the long COVID is actually vaccine side effects being claimed as long COVID. Workforce absences, including the NIH. And here's the important part. The increased risk of new variants emerging. It says the combination of high prevalence and high levels of vaccination creates the conditions in which an immune escape variant is most likely to emerge. Isn't that pretty clear? So the infections are there. Of course, they're going to pretend that if we take the injection, that will make them go down. But we just showed you that's not true. Same level of viral load. It's just as likely to spread. So that's an illusion. So if the point is, if the prevalence is there, because it's there anyway, and people are getting injected alongside of it, guess what? It creates variants. That's exactly what the SAGE group found. It's what it tells you right there. And it's what the science actually said before we got here. And that's why this makes no sense at all to pretend like the unvaccinated or why this is hurting everybody. It's just going to keep toppling down. They're going to keep pointing to new variants, and this is going to keep going regardless of the fact that the injected are the ones actually causing the problem, in my opinion. Now, this, I just want to show you this. This happened on the show live the other day. I don't know why this won't pop up for me the same way that this one does. Remember, it didn't pop up for me the other day, and I said, look, they're hiding, and then it came up live on the show. Let's see if it does it again. Nope. Why isn't that there? Multivaccine rate. Luckily, I have it somewhere else, right here. But what's strange is that used to show the map of Malta. I keep pointing this out. It's just not there now when you look it up. It'll probably pop up for me or some other point. It looked just like this. All right. I don't know why. I mean, I guess because Malta is a huge problem for their narrative, right? So the point is that 74.8% of Malta is vaccinated, 300,000 plus people. Okay. So it's an obvious microcosm of the problem because I'd also note the no deaths whatsoever, the huge spike in cases over a long period of time. And there's no correlation there. So I think again, that we see the problem for the vaccinated in regard to being, you know, the cases that that's what's happening. But what it shows you by and large is that their narrative makes no sense. If they can reach herd immunity, as they reported here back in May 24th, Malta reaches herd immunity. Okay. But yet then a new variant pops up and what do you know? They're struggling. Oh my God, the cases are up. So does herd immunity not stop them, or is the vaccinations or are the injections not leading to what you say they do? I mean, there's only a few choices to realize here. If they reach herd immunity before this and now it's happening and it's still hurting them, then that doesn't add up the way they want it to. There's only one answer here based on all the information we have, based on the fact that Israel's data shows you the previous infection stopped this, showing you that the Delta is not affected. The only thing it really shows you, in my opinion, is that the vaccines are causing a problem. That's my opinion. But they don't want to report this. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to talk about it. Spike in cases, basically nothing happening in deaths. Two deaths on one day, right? I mean, you can just see this. It's not happening. But as I keep telling you, it's going to continue and continue and continue. Oh, guess what? Now we got a Colombian variant, right? I'm sure that's going to add another Greek alphabet to it. Epsilon, Vane, whatever the next one is. New Colombian. So again, here's the point. Colombian, right? So it's coming from outside. Oh, well, it's spreading everywhere because of the unvaccinated. Well, wait a minute. What about all the people that weren't? I mean, it's spreading through them as well. We just reported that. So the obvious reality is it's not doing what they say it does. And the variants will continue over and over, and it will keep this going. Now, somebody reached out to the CDC and asked them how they're verifying these variants. And here was their answer. And this is very important. Thank you for contacting the CDC. We hope you find the following information about COVID-19 helpful about variants. It says currently all viral diagnostic tests for SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, are able to detect every variant of the virus. However, these tests will not be able to tell you which specific variant you might have. Okay, so what they're saying is, yeah, it comes up with SARS-CoV-2, but we don't know what variant it is. So if you're testing everybody with this PCR test and getting a yes or no answer, you don't know what variant it is. I hope that's clear. It says to tell which variant might be present in a specimen, scientists must perform whole genome sequencing on that specimen. At this time, that is available for surveillance purposes only, not for individual diagnostic purposes. What, now, are you see what this is telling you? They don't know. They're guessing based on a few different things that we've already discussed, based on the assessment that Delta is what's predominantly hitting everybody. So when they take a test, I'm sure it's being written down as Delta because that's what the authority said. They don't know. They are not doing genome sequencing for every single test, just like they're not investigating every report of death in Bayer's. They're pretending they are, and they're not doing it. This is showing you that right there. It's based on estimates of sample groups, based on their cohort studies. They are not finding out what the real picture is. This is the same thing that drove this from the beginning with Imperial College of London models that were wildly wrong. It was based on their assumptions. And this is what the HHS, the BMJ, and a lot of other people have told you about the CDC over the years. We just read the WHO last night, back in 2001 or 7, excuse me, telling you. They are using these things to create pandemics of fear. That was what they said about the CDC back before that shifted and they hid everything from your view. We're staring at it, guys. How do they know what variants are around? How do they know what we're even dealing with if all they're doing is guessing? Well, Biden is happy to say things that don't really make sense based on the narrative because people go along with it. They're happy to spread things that just kind of go say what people want them to hear or say the things that people want to hear based on, I guess, what makes them feel good about what they're doing. Like the mask works and these things help you, but they're not based on the data. These are the people screaming, trust the science, but not even looking at the science. Now, I'm not going to play this full thing because we'd be here all night, but just the first point he makes, I find this to be ridiculous. Take a listen.
Good afternoon. Today, I want to talk to you about COVID-19.
I also find it funny that he's got his, you know, now his mask back on, right? Even though it was off when they said it could be, now it's back on, right? Just because they said based on, it's so funny. It's just such theater, right? I guarantee you he didn't wear that all the way there. He put it on before in the curtain and then came out and took it off. Just like we've caught them doing 100 times.
Maybe the best way to start is in a significant part of the country, you wouldn't have to take one of these off. You don't have to put one on.
Dang it.
Like in my home state of Delaware. Where I live in Newcastle County, where I was yesterday in Pennsylvania, because people got vaccinated.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, right? That's it. That's all I want to show you. So let's take a look back at the information and see what happens in Castle County, right? So what he's claiming that they are good in Castle County, they don't have to wear them because they all got that. They got vaccinated, right? That's what he just said. You wouldn't have to do this if you did like they did in my hometown. Okay. Well, let's take a look at what's happening there. Here is the health tracker from this area. Let's take a quick look. Well, what do you know, Bo? Wait, this isn't the right one. It's right here, right here. Okay. See, I had this highlighted. I'm just trying to find the right one. Where is the full picture? Okay. 49% fully vaccinated. Okay, so 49% fully vaccinated in Newcastle County. So he's claiming that 49% is apparently enough. That it will, if you did what they did, well, you'd be good. But if that's 49%. Okay, so the country, the United States, at this moment, as we just showed you, is at 49%. Okay, so are we good then, Biden? If that's enough for your hometown, and that means that they're good and they don't have to wear the mask because they're all vaccinated, it's 49. So obviously you see my point. He's just saying that. He's just saying something because he wants to say, look at my place and look at we're good. If 49 was enough, then we would all be done. It's not, obviously. So they're lying to you. They're misrepresenting things to sell you a narrative. This is all they do. It just makes me mad that they can come out and we'll be censored for misinformation and they'll lie to you on their face. Now here is one last point about the vaccination. Vaccination alone won't stop the rise of variants and in fact could push the evolution of strains that evade their protection. Oh, you don't say. That's fantastic. I've been censored for saying exactly these things for a long time. But of course, what they're trying to do is be like, oh, but just get more vaccinations and wear your mask and do these other things. That's how they're trying to frame it. But what this is really showing you is they're admitting they were wrong without actually saying it because CNN and these other groups, they're cowards. They won't come out and be like, oh, I know we said it was safe and effective and it works perfectly and everybody should do it no matter what because it always works. Not really, though, because the CDC just told us that's not the case. Instead of coming out and saying correction, we've been yelling and lying at you for a year. No, we're just going to come out and pretend like we were right and we just need to do more stuff. No, they're liars. Vaccination alone won't stop the rise of variants, meaning that the vaccination is, at least in part, reason they're happening. That's just ridiculous they would even say it. But then it says they said people need to wear masks and take other preventative steps. Don't you know what they're trying to hide right there is the reality that the information is beginning to trickle out that, you know, antivirals are needed too. Uh-oh. You used to be censored for saying that like 3 minutes ago. Now you're allowed to say it because CNN and Pfizer are telling you that, which we'll get to again in a second. But this is what's so frustrating about the way this information flows. This is showing you that they do not work the way that they're telling you they do. At the very least, that they're screaming about 99% effective and whatever else they're saying is not true. Simply not true. Now, here is what they do to get you to take these things, that almost all the COVID-related deaths in the U.S. are now among unvaccinated people. Now, I just talked about this, but I'm gonna go over this briefly again. Because this is something they're continuing to yell, and it's important that people understand that this data that they keep acting like is unequivocal comes from what's the right word for it? An assessment from Associated Press based on limited data that even the CDC wouldn't report. Now, it says the majority of deaths related to COVID in the U.S. are now being reported as people who haven't been vaccinated, according to data analyzed by Associated Press. Government data. So the CDC gave them data. They looked it over and came to their conclusion, right? Now, first of all, realize that the CDC is caught lying about stuff and altering data constantly. We just showed you how they tried to hide 100,000 plus breakthrough cases when it's probably way more than that. So take that at face value first, that the government is lying to you in a lot of different ways. But it says the AP reported Thursday that about 0.8%, where's the one point here? I had this highlighted. It says the AP noted that hospitalization death percentage of fully vaccinated people from May data, which they retrieved. Right. So this is the point. The AP noted that hospitalizations and death percentages in fully vaccinated people from May data, which they retrieved from the CDC, has not been estimated by the CDC itself, as the group cited limitations in the data. Oh, you're kidding me. I'm going to check something really quickly on this. Bear with me. I believe something changed on this. Let's find out if somebody archived it. Usually somebody. Here we go. June 27th. Okay, that might be enough. Let's see. I've gotten good catches on live shows before. I believe there was a point here where it was talking about the states. I remember specifically a mention of the states. Maybe it was in another article. Now, the point was, as I just showed you, that we're talking about limited data, as even they point out, that they only got information from some of the states. And that's why the CDC itself said it was limited. It was limited data. And I showed you this on a previous show as well. The other article we just showed you was only 35 states. So the bottom line is AP got information about unvaccinated people and the illnesses, and they reported it with limitations, with only so many states giving them data. And even the CDC wouldn't report it. And they looked at just that limited data and said, here's what we think about it, based on what the CDC gave them. And from that came Jen Psaki, this is what it was. I apologize. So this is okay. So jumping to the next one. Here's what Yahoo is reporting from. Nearly all COVID deaths in the U.S. are now among unvaccinated. Okay. So what it's saying is, it was right here. The AP analyzed figures provided by the CDC. The CDC itself has not estimated what percentage of hospitalizations and deaths are in fully vaccinated people, citing limitations in the data. Here it is right here. Only about 45 states, right? So you're missing six states. That is a gigantic amount of people. Which ones, by the way? Was it California, New York, and Florida? I mean, come on. This is obviously why it's not even valid to report this. So they report limited, not even all the states, about information that they're talking about. And it says, so the data probably underestimates the infections. And this is talking about breakthrough in general. The bottom line is they don't know. They don't know the full picture. They don't know whether the breakthrough are causing more. They don't know whether the unvaccinated are causing more, because they didn't report it and they don't have all the data. But it doesn't stop AP from doing a limited review of things that aren't the full picture, and then going, we think it's 99% without everything. And then Biden, Psaki, Fauci all come out and just blatantly just 99.2% fact. Did they tell you it was based on limited data the CDC refused to report on? Did they tell you it was only 45 states? Of course they didn't. The bottom line is that cannot be enough to force people. And this is where we're going. It's staggering to me. And again, we can see that the U.S. death count is pretty much laying out despite the case rising over a period of time where it should already be showing. That ignores, of course, the fact that we're actually seeing in reports, even from mainstream, all over the place. Here's Sacramento. Higher COVID rates found in counties with higher vaccination rates. Shocking. You cannot combine that data with what they're trying to sell you and walk away thinking it makes sense. We are staring at the real world data. I've showed you this many times. This is the report from Israel National News, reporting about the natural infection versus the Delta infection. As it says, with a total of 835,792 Israelis known to have recovered, so people with natural infections, the 72, that's all, 72 of people with reinfection amount to 0.008%. So 0.008% of people who are currently being infected with COVID-19 in Israel, 72 of them, that's it, are people who had previously been infected. In contrast, Israelis who were vaccinated were more than 6.72 times more likely to get infected after the shot than people with natural infection. Remember, they're telling you that over half the country has already had it. And those are the people that are trying to, they're trying to force to take this, even though it destroys their antibodies and it actually is being shown to create lots more problems. All these things combined together make a very clear picture that this is not even close to what they're trying to say. Now, I've shown you this many times. Somebody recently asked again, and here is the full information, which we'll come back to. Oh, of course, I lost my place. I'll have to find this again. Anyway, we'll come back to it. As you might have seen many times, Dr. Russo shared this, and this is from the data from Israel. Here's the link itself, and we'll go over that. That's the dashboard we'll show you next. The point was, in every single age category, every single one of them, from June 27th to July 3rd, you are seeing the predominant amount of cases in the vaccinated people. Every category, every single age category, it's almost over 80%. Which, by the way, perfectly correlates with the percentage of the people who are vaccinated. Now, what does that mean? That means that you can see that pretty much equally the people who are vaccinated are the ones that are causing the problem. Not hard to see that. I mean, look at the percentages. As I've shown many times for the people on the podcast, and you guys have heard this many times, 20 to 29, 79%, 30 to 39, 80%, 40 to 49, 84%. That's the percentage of people who are vaccinated in the cases. Every age category across the board, up to 100%. It's impossible to misunderstand what that's showing you. Now, here is what Discord TV reported today, which is Discord TV reported this, and I'm going to show you the graph, or I've defined it again, but Israel's COVID-19 data dashboard, which we'll show you next, provided by the health ministry, apparently no longer shows the breakdown of hospitalizations and deaths. So they no longer show you this graph. Why would that be? Because it, like the U.S. government's doing, they don't want you to see that correlate. They don't want you to see that because it shows you that the vaccine is not working. Pretty clear. That's hiding data. Now here, I'm not going to take the time. Here's the dashboard for those that were asking. You guys can look at this for yourselves. Here was the point. I believe it was right down here where you can see that the death, it's been simplified to just be, you don't get to look at the one versus the other. I had it up, but I'm not going to waste the time since they clearly, since my computer refreshed before we started, but the information's there if you want to look at it. And the bottom line is they're hiding that now because it shows you something they don't want you to see. This cannot be crossed over with what the U.S. government is trying to sell you without actually showing you the information, which I just showed you. That does not make sense. Now, as I said about this, this only further confirms why the data we keep showing you is obviously important. It reveals what they don't want you to see, that the problem is clearly the injected. They're 6.72 times more likely to catch it, in fact, according to the Israeli study. Now, here's Biden telling you the opposite. Which again, it's just, you know, this is scare. This is fear mongering to get you to do what they want you to do, what they want you to do.
COVID-19 deaths have been among the unvaccinated. Last month, a study showed that over 99% of COVID-19 deaths have been among the unvaccinated.
Again, he says a study, right? Before it was a fact. Before it was like fact, 99%, of course, fact. Well, now he says a study. Isn't that great? A study? Well, I've shown you 1,000 studies, right? Aren't they the ones telling you that not all science, right? So just because one study says that, well, it's fact then, right? Well, in fact, a study didn't say that. An AP review of the data that they showed, that's what happened. So he can't even report it correctly to you. I've gone over this, right? This is where it's coming from. They're reporting it from an AP review of CDC data that they didn't even report because it wasn't the full picture. But Biden's happy to lie to you and be like, a study said. Nope. Fake news. I'd love to see that study. You're reporting what you were told and you don't even understand it. But I'm the crazy one. This should be censored, right?
This is American tragedy. People are dying and will die who don't have to die. If you're out there unvaccinated, you don't have to die. Read the news. You'll see stories about unvaccinated patients in hospitals.
Right, because that's the only thing they're talking about, even though it's not actually accurate. They're hiding all the breakthrough cases. In fact, hundreds of thousands, like we just showed you, right? Read the news because they're telling you what they want you to think. And this is just fear-mongering, guys. I mean, this is blatant fear-mongering. You don't have to die. 99.7% all said and done. But yeah, you don't have to die though, right? You're 0.3% danger. It's silly. Of course, then if you remove the over 70 risk, you're basically at 0%. right? I mean, this is the report that I keep talking about, the 114 studies, a meta-analysis of all 114 peer-reviewed studies about the infection fatality rate of COVID-19. And they tell you that if you're under 25, it's 0.08%. If you're under 10, it's 0.008 or something like that. It's zero. Statistically speaking, you're at zero risk. But all they can do is jam in the over 80 numbers so it looks like you have some risk. Oh my God, the children. No, children are 0%. They're lying to you. And it's very easy to see. Uh-oh, here's Chicago, 159 dead, 593 hospitalized in Illinois, breakthrough cases. But yeah, you don't have to die, right? I agree with that, Biden. You don't have to die. So make it your choice. Here's a short little clip that my brother actually made from my show that I want to play really quickly because I just think it's a perfect little clip to wrap up this segment. Really short. But it's just the absurdity of what they're actually saying here. It's crazy. It's madness, as I named the clip.
For mandates, because it's the only way to protect our people.
Right. So it's time to force you, because until you take the thing that doesn't stop you from spreading this, people aren't protected. Right. The people over there that already got the thing that doesn't stop them from catching it won't be protected until you take the thing that doesn't stop you from spreading it, even though you both have the same viral load, according to the Washington Post. Are you confused? You should be, because it doesn't make any sense. It's illogical. Right. I mean, it's just so silly, right? You can both catch it. You can both spread it, regardless of your vaccination status, your injection status, same viral load. And yet nobody's protected until you take the thing that doesn't change any of that. Solid. Who's buying this, man? I don't even understand that. Now, here we get into the point about their own information showing you that you're at risk. Gosh darn it, I have to find this again. Let's see. Man, you see, this kills me. This is so frustrating. So here, this is the article's ADE and Corona vaccines. And what it's saying, man, this drives me crazy. I apologize, guys, for the delay. This is not how this show usually goes. Antibody-dependent enhancement is what we're talking about here. And what it's telling you is that this is very real and that the FDA, that's right, it's going to be reloaded here too. Son of a gun. Man. This drives me up the wall. I almost want to just read through this entire thing just so I can make sure that you guys see this point. Oh, I think it's right here. See if I, oh wait, right here. Here it is. Thank God. God, I was going to pull my hair out. What's left of it. Okay. So here's what it says. Now this is specifically in an emergency. And let me just grab this while we're waiting. Well, I wanted to show you this as well. Let me read this first. In the emergency use authorization that the FDA has granted Pfizer's vaccine includes an explicit note regarding antibody-dependent enhancement. Available data do not indicate a risk of vaccine-enhanced disease and conversely suggest effectiveness against severe disease within the follow-up period. Okay, but then it says, however, the risk of vaccine... Oh, that's what it was. It's just however, comma, risk. There it is. Got it. I always like to prove to you guys that in the document, it says, however, the risk of vaccine enhanced disease over time, potentially associated with waning immunity, remains unknown and needs to be evaluated further in ongoing clinical trials and in observational studies that could be conducted following authorization and or licensure. Right. So the FDA is admitting that we don't know. That waning immunity, meaning that these things don't last, which they already know, which is why they're pushing boosters, which despite the fact that natural immunity already shows you for a population that's largely not at risk, that can last for the rest of your life. Yet they're trying to force you to take something that you have to take every 6 months for the rest of your life, which comes with its own huge amount of side effects that they're trying to hide from you. What they're telling you is that the risk of antibody-dependent enhancement over time remains unknown. Think about that. If they don't know whether this can hurt you dramatically over time, how can they force you to take it? Here's the FDA document itself, right here. However, risk of vaccine-induced disease. That doesn't just mean antibody-dependent enhancement. That's one of them. Over time, potentially associated with waning immunity, potentially, so it could be associated with anything else, remains unknown and needs to be evaluated. So do you usually evaluate these dangers after it's been injected into your family? No, you don't. In fact, this is what you're supposed to do during safety trials, but they're not. This is happening in your body right now. Now this, just so we're clear, again, as I was kind of fumbling around there to get started, this is from Davidson Institute, the educational arm of the Weizmann Institute. Davidson Institute of Science and Education, right? That classically anti-science fake news conspiracy theory rag, right? As always. And this is from the FDA. Let's get to the top real quick so you can see the document. Emergency use authorization for unapproved product review memorandum. As you can see at the top, FDA.gov. So they're telling you right there that the risk is unknown. Now, this is where we bring you to the point where we show you that that's not true. So the FDA, at the very least, is admitting to you that we don't know the risk, which should be enough to stop people from being forced to take an unapproved experimental injection they don't know the risks of, despite screaming from the media that it's safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective, right? How is it safe and effective if you don't know the risks, right? Riddle me that one. This is ridiculous. But here, we're going to get to the study that I continue to show you, right? The one that was published on 2020, December, and then was reviewed in March 2021. This is an informed consent disclosure to vaccine trial subjects of risks of COVID-19 vaccine worsening clinical disease. So how is it possible the FDA can be like, we don't know, when there was scientific research that found exactly what they're claiming we don't know, right? I mean, this is incredible, but this is peer-reviewed research that's showing you what I keep telling you. Let's go through it for those that haven't seen it. As it says, published literature was viewed to identify preclinical and clinical evidence. Oh, let me do this. So it remains that COVID-19 vaccines could worsen disease upon exposure to challenge or circulating virus. Clinical trial protocols for COVID vaccines were reviewed to determine the risk were properly disclosed, right? So they set out to find out if Pfizer, Moderna, and the rest of them did what they were supposed to. Spoiler alert, they didn't. And they found that a long time ago, back in December 2020. Guess what your government did? Nothing. Guess what the mainstream media did? Nothing. They hid it. They covered it up. They didn't tell you about it. Here's what the results were. COVID-19 vaccines designed to elicit neutralizing antibodies may sensitize vaccine recipients to more severe disease than if they were not vaccinated. Sounds pretty clear, right? COVID-19 disease via antibody-dependent enhancement, right? It may worsen the problem. That's what they're saying. Then it says this risk is sufficiently obscured in clinical trial protocols. What's another word of obscure? Hidden, covered up, right? This is hidden from you. That's not an accident. This risk, which they call a specific and significant risk, which we'll come to next, was covered up, hidden from you in their trials and consent forms, right? So that's they're not meeting informed consent, which is what they also find in this study, which is a crime. The Australian government wants you to think it's your fault for not doing your due diligence on things we didn't tell you about, right? Literally just said that. The prime minister just said it's your fault for not doing your due. If you die, if you get an illness, that's your fault. No, it's not. That means he either ignorantly doesn't even come close to understanding what informed consent means, or he doesn't care. The informed consent means the government's supposed to inform you of the full picture, and then it's your choice to consent or not. Today, you don't have a choice, and they're not informing you anyway. But yeah, they love to say that, right? Here's what it goes on to say, though. The risk is sufficiently obscured in clinical trial protocols and consent forms for ongoing COVID-19 vaccine trials, which, by the way, became real world, and it's still where we are. That adequate patient comprehension of this risk is unlikely to occur, obviating truly informed consent by subjects in these trials. That means the people, even in the trials, didn't get informed about the real risks that they knew about. This should be a criminal trial kind of a thing. Nobody even talked about this. I bring this up every other show, if not every show. Here's the main point. The specific and significant COVID-19 risk of antibody-dependent enhancement should have been and should be prominently and independently disclosed to research subjects currently in the trials, as well as those being recruited for trials, as well as people currently getting the shot. It says approval, but of course we didn't skip it. We just need emergency approval. I can't believe I just said that. I'm constantly trying. It's funny. I'm reading this stuff every day, and that's what they continually say it. As you all know, I'm constantly battering that down, and it gets burrowed into your brain anyway. There's only two things here. emergency use authorization and approval. That's it. There is no mix over. The reason I accidentally said that is because every second mainstream article is muddying the waters by pretending it's emergency approved or approval authorized, some kind of mix. There's only two things. That's it. It's either emergency authorized, which means they don't know, or it means approved and they claim they know. Half the time they don't know anyway. Anyway, the point was that they're saying for trials or for people taking the injection. And they need that in order to meet the medical ethics standard for patient comprehension for informed consent. Bottom line means that that's not happening. It's not there, which means they're not meeting the medical ethics standard for informed consent, period. Now, as I always point out, these studies are very specific in their language. More than almost everything they do, it's usually muddied a little bit. You know, can do this, possible, highly likely. I keep pointing this out. This study finds in their conclusion that it's specific and significant. I don't think we understand how big important that is. They're like, this is completely clear. We're not confused. There's no equivocation here. It's specific and it's significant, and you need to tell people about it. December 2020. Do you think people know about that? Do you think people getting injected right now know they have a risk of getting exponentially sicker once they go back into the world? Of course not. Because they lied to you. They hid it from you. They trusted the science by ignoring the science, right? Gosh, it makes me sick that this is what's happening to people. You have a right to say no to something like this. You have a right to say no if it was the best thing since sliced bread. You still have a right to say no. This just makes it all the more obvious that if they need to ignore the information to get you to take it, then there's something very wrong. Now, James Lyons Weiler, PhD, who I've interviewed as well, the product insert in COVID-19 vaccines are blank. All right, this is an expert, a very highly regarded expert. And so it's funny that I've shown you the document where an actual pharmacist pulled out the insert and showed you there was literally nothing written on it, which should be crazy to people. But people called it fake news. And the point is, it's very easy to verify. Right now, the inserts at those places are blank. There's nothing written on them because they're not informing people. So as he's pointing out, they're not this blank. The information's not there. This vaccine is being given without any informed consent. Patients are supposed to receive information on vaccine risk prior to accepting the vaccine. How the hell can this emergency use authorization vaccine be mandated for anyone for anything? Exactly. It's incredible. Now here, as much as I'm not in any way convinced that Tucker has your best intentions at heart or Fox or any mainstream channel, he does seem to be knocking on the door of a lot of the information that, you know, we previously talked about, to be quite honest. But this is one that people have been sending to me for a while now that I haven't actually touched on. Actually, this was something that I was digging into, and I wasn't, at the moment I looked at it, I wasn't able to see the source material, so I put it aside. And this is the leaked Pfizer agreement that basically reveals to you that they know what we keep telling you. Now, let me show you this, because this was something that Tucker has covered, and it's valid and it's important. Now, as I always point out, I find his show or any mainstream out there, an outlet out there that reveals truth to you, being sort of a release valve. So you think, well, there's some people fighting for me. We have to remember that from top down, Fox itself is not part of the solution, guys. The two-party illusion, it's always going to be the truth insofar as it gets you to a certain point, and then it's going to be narrative and agenda. All right? So just remember that. That's my opinion. For all I know, Tucker's saving you all. I don't agree with that. I just want to make that clear before we play this clip. Hashtag two-party illusion, guys. Left or right. It's all lost at this point. Now, this is an important clip because this is exactly what we've been saying for a long time, and it's being vindicated in a lot of different ways, including this information. So watch for yourself.
Pfizer's purchase agreement with the Albanian government leaked out onto the internet. There are a lot of fascinating things in that document. It's lots of legalese. But in between it all were quotes like this, and this is from that document. Purchaser acknowledges the long-term effects and efficacy of the vaccine are not currently known, and that there may be adverse effects of the vaccine that are not currently known. Well, is that reassuring? What are those effects? And why don't we know? And why can't we ask? No one's pausing to ask questions at this moment, though. That's not allowed.
Right. Yeah, exactly like we've been saying, Tucker, and you finally just jumped into the field. Like, this is something that by the way, Fox News is aggressively pushing the injection right now. But what we're talking about here is huge. In their leaked information, it turns out that they know they don't know. Right? Use one of those terms from back. Who did that? The knowns and unknowns, that nonsensical nonsense. But they know that they're not fully aware of the long-term problems. there's no way you can force someone to take something that you don't know what the long-term effects are. Bottom line, they don't care though. And that needs to show you that there's a much larger problem happening here. This is being driven in at a time when they don't fully understand what it can do. In fact, I even argue that they know a lot of what it can, and they're hiding that from you, just like the breakthrough cases, because either they're convinced that this is the best thing since sliced bread, regardless of the data, or there's something far more nefarious happening here. As always, I leave it to you. I present you with the information, be objective and research it for yourself. Yet somehow we're still being censored, even though we're completely being irritatingly objective with all the information. I give you my opinions all the time, but it's about what we can prove. And that's why they don't like us. But here's something I want to point out as we go forward. There's a lot of people right now that frustrate me, frustratingly so, are coming out and actually telling people to get the injection. Now, there's not a lot of people that, the reason this frustrates me is because these are people that have been almost overtly avoiding this topic, focusing on foreign, but there's a lot of important stuff that you can focus on in foreign policy right now. I happen to think this is all tied in together, which is why we still talk about it. Robert and Lakesh coming out, bottom line. But for people that aren't reporting about this, who aren't actually immersed in the information, and then coming out and telling people that they should take this thing, alarms me. Here's Aaron Matei saying, I think we should encourage people to take the injection. I don't even, and of course, what this is, it goes on to say that we don't think calling people dumb is the way to do it. I also don't think that we should, liberal pundits who bought into the dumbest conspiracy of all time, Trump Russia collusion, you know, his go-to, should be calling others dumb. Which is this person saying, it's really amazing that we as a nation are too stupid to get rid of COVID. That's really the whole thing holding us back. Now, the argument, bottom line, is that, yeah, you know, it's, you guys should take the injection. I think we should encourage people to take this. That is dangerous to my, based on what we know, based on my opinion. And I don't understand why that would be the case, coming from these people who are, in any other case, at least ostensibly, arguing against the propaganda. Look at these people lying to us about everything they're doing over here in Syria, but we're blindly trusting what they say about this injection when all the data points the other side. And it's odd to me that it's happening kind of simultaneously, right? Here is Kavor Kalmasian, who I'm actually going to be speaking to in the near future, commenting on Graham Elwood, saying the same thing. First, I'll read you what he says. Not really accurate. It's very likely to catch the virus if you're not injected is probably with mild symptoms. Therefore, as an injected person, you shouldn't really care if your audience is vaxxed or not, as long as you're protected. And the point is, vaccine people make up 75% of recent COVID cases in Singapore. Look at that. 75% of the new cases are in Singapore are vaccinated, yet we're pretending like it's only one side of this, and we're telling people to go get this injection where it's not. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. Here is, maybe it was the next one. Yeah, okay, it's the next one anyway. Here's what he says. And let's go back, and this will bring us into the ivermectin discussion. There's back and forth, some court, the argument, it seems, about them talking about ivermectin, saying, you must make a symptom-reducing medicine to keep me safe before I'll take your money to obtain. Basically saying that he only wants people, you know, even using a divisive concept that people need to be vaccinated or not, it should be people's choice, guys. That's what's so frustrating. Why anybody in any political sphere is saying do this or don't do this, it should be people's choice. The fact that we got to a point where we're saying that you're a bad person if you don't take this thing you don't want is crazy. That's the coercive part. People that are standing back going, do whatever you, it's your choice with your body, are now the selfish ones. Someone, I forget whose tweet that just was, saying that somehow the selfless people are the ones taking freedoms away and forcing you to do things, making you take medical interventions you don't need. But I'm over here saying, it's your choice. You do what you want. I'll do what I want. And I'm selfish? How in the world does that make sense? But as he says, I guess you didn't read or test part. Again, arguing that it's okay then to force people to take a test or get vaccinated. The test that also has a problem in its own right, which we've covered on our previous show. Right? Repeated testing with the residue left on those things causes a problem. I've shown you this. They admitted themselves there's a residue that does remain with what they use to test on those that are treated, those little things they put in your nose. And then it shows you that it does collect in your body. I'm not saying it's an immediate problem, but it's definitely something that you should have a right to say no to, especially since the damn tests are completely through the roof with false positives. But the point is, he said he gave three choices, vax, test, or don't come. So don't come to my show if you don't have a test or a vaccine. You're part of the problem, dude. You are creating the infrastructure for exactly what you think you're fighting against. That's incredible to me. And somebody says, you forgot ivermectin as a choice. This Fiora Isabel, who I've been on their show before, says ivermectin works. It saved many people's lives. I know, including pro-vax family of mine. Now, I'm not taking a stance on this. I've shown you the data, and I'll show you again in a second. You should have a right to choose for yourself. Remdesivir, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, blah, blah, blah. I hate that I even know all those names. I don't like any prescription drug. I'm not a big pharma person. But, like, I'm a vitamin D guy. Oh, it's just as experimental and dangerous, according to the NIH. Not a joke, by the way, even though Fauci said he would recommend it when this all started, suddenly through COVID clown world, vitamin D became a dangerous thing. That's just ridiculous where we are today. But going forward on this, as he says, great, more choices. Most people mad at my post are too dumb to get my point about make a choice and I'm not going to put myself at risk. Right, so he's afraid of people coming to the show without an injection or a test, even though the injection doesn't stop you from spreading, even though people who are vaccinated have just as high a viral load or can, according to the Washington Post, even though all the things we just listed, he still feels at risk if you don't come with a piece of paper that says you had a magic thing that's stopping everything that doesn't really stop it, or a test that says it stops it, even though you have a really high possibility of having it even still, even if any of that is even true. The point is, it's all based on assumptions that are not true. He says, if you want to do a 25-seater tour without getting vaxxed or requiring audience to get tested or even wear masks, go for it, right? How about you just side with humanity here and don't just placate everybody and jump into the system they're creating for you? I mean, I like Graham Elwood. I'm getting really frustrated by the fact that a lot of people who should know better are just falling right into it because, well, I got shows to do. Stand up for yourself, man. It's time to do that. It makes me mad. Now, here's what frustrates me is that this is at a time when the information, even on the Wall Street Journal, is pointing out that things like ivermectin are actually working. And so why would we need an injection? Why would we need these things? And this is, why is the FDA attacking a safe and effective drug? As it says, the Food and Drug Administration claims to follow the science. So why is it attacking ivermectin, a medication it certified in 1996? This is the Wall Street Journal. It says earlier this year, the agency put out a special warning that, quote, you should not use ivermectin to prevent COVID-19. Okay, why exactly? The FDA statement included words and phrases such as serious harm, hospitalization, dangerous, very dangerous, seizures, coma, and even death, and highly toxic. Right, this peer-reviewed study, this medicine that's been shown to be effective in a lot of ways for years, and yet we're ignoring over 500,000 reports of far more serious things coming from the injection on VAERS. Over 500,000 reports of it is through the roof, and all they can do is go, we don't know for sure because they're not investigating it. But you're going to point to things like this and say that's dangerous? Well, because that clearly without this, you wouldn't be able to force in the injection. It says any reader would think the FDA was warning against poison pills. In fact, the drug is FDA approved and safe and effective antiparasitic. Well, what do you know about that? Wall Street Journal is telling you that is an FDA approved drug while they're forcing you to take an emergency authorized drug that has yet to be proven as safe and effective, despite the fact they repeat that ad nauseum. It's been approved. It's safe and effective as according to the FDA. And yet that's a problem. But here, take this thing that's experimental. Ivermectin was developed and marketed by Merck & Co. While one of us worked there years ago, one of the writers, discovering and developing ivermectin, which associates modified to create ivermectin. Now it says ivermectin is on the World Health Organization list of essential medicines. That's just ridiculous, guys. Merck has donated 4 billion doses to prevent river blindness and other diseases in Africa and other places where parasites are common. A group of 10 doctors who call themselves the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance have said ivermectin is, quote, one of the safest, low-cost, and widely available drugs in the history of medicine. Now, I'm not saying I necessarily endorse all of that. What I'm saying is it's impossible to pretend with all this information that it's some dangerous thing that shouldn't be tried while we're forcing in an experimental mRNA genetically modifying thing with all sorts of problems, with nanoparticles proven with past research to collect in your organs, such as your ovaries, to cause cancer, to cause all sorts of problems. And top of that, we have mRNA that's also shown to do all of that. Then you got the spike protein. We just showed you can cause disease and lead to all the same problems, blood clots, myocarditis. But yeah, all that's okay in lieu of this totally approved thing that's been shown to be safe and effective a million times over. I guess so. Unbelievable. Now, guess what, guys? Get ready to fall out of your seats. Here's Pfizer. As of 2 days ago, guess what they said? Alongside vaccines, success against COVID-19 will likely require antiviral treatments for those who contract the virus. You gotta be kidding me. This is the Pfizer, the mainstream media, the government have been falling all over themselves to attack ivermectin, to attack all the antivirals that were being used or tried to be used because they claim they were dangerous and you got to take the vaccine instead. So now they're coming after they've got that through, after they've got their emergency authorization, after they've injected half the country to say, oh, well, those do work now. So now we want them. So now we'll use them. So then when that starts to work, we'll say, look, the vaccines work. We told you so. Just like they did with everything else. Just like when they changed the cycle threshold and said, look at that, it's working. It's unbelievable how obvious this is. What about all the people that were censored for saying that these things might be off, might be necessary? What about the fact that if you knew that they were something that should be used based on their efficacy from before, that if you use them to begin with, we wouldn't have been able to emergency authorize the injections? Maybe that had something to do with it. Unreal. It says we've started a phase 2-3 trial to evaluate potential oral therapies and will enroll over 2,000. Oh, great. So you're going to start your own trial, get paid to do that trial and create your own product and say, look, this works. How about we use the other ones that have already gone through trials, that have already been evaluated, that are already FDA approved? How about that? Unbelievable. This is unbelievable, guys. We should be outraged. Because people have been censored for saying this before we got here. People have lost their careers. There's been look at the entire, the frontline doctors? They were the ones that came out spearheading this, and they were all attacked and disparaged. Some of them lost all sorts of things. And here we are with a swing back around to go, oh yeah, we should do that. It's infuriating. Not only because they were wrong and they knew they were wrong and then they attacked people for it, but it's not going to change. They're not going to swing back and say, oh, you guys were right, our mistake. They're still conspiracy theorists. They're still debunked doctors over here, despite what they said being correct and being vindicated. It's just staggering. And this is going to keep going, right? Here are the other studies we've shown you from before. American Journal of Therapeutics, ivermectin for prevention of treatment of COVID-19. Here's Oxford. Oxford academics saying ivermectin, they're studying it right now. Yet here's Pfizer ignoring all of that and going, we're going to do our own thing. We're going to study this, get paid for it, and possibly sell it to you ourselves because we're looking out for you, right? We're going to selflessly make this injection and make $33 billion in the first quarter. Yeah, it totally makes sense that it's all about us, right? Oh, but take that third dose because we're going to make another $10 billion. Here's Reuters pointing out as well, Oxford University explores antiparasitic ivermectin as a COVID-19 treatment now that they've got their thing in place. Surprise, surprise. Here's Lindsay pointing out, warning, my client in Turkey has just been refused entry to his bank as his ID card showed, guess what, guys, just what I keep telling you is going to happen, showed he hadn't had his third jab. So here's a person who's taken two jabs, two injections, because he wanted to go back to his life, right? Maybe let's just pretend, let's say he hates this thing and he knows he doesn't trust it, but you know, he's got to travel for work. Right? Oh, he's got to see his grandson. So, you know, I got a comedy show to do, so I'm going to do it anyway. I personally find that to be cowardly myself, especially if you don't agree with it, to just lean into it because you got to do it. Well, guess what happens when they swing back around for the third shot? Well, you have to do that one too, or you get pulled out again. Suddenly you're no longer valid. Suddenly you're an anti-vaxxer conspiracy theorist. But wait a minute, I did two already. How does that make sense? Because this is exactly what I told you would happen. It's going to, you are going to be on the hook for this for the rest of you, as long as they keep telling you jab 3, jab 4, jab 5, jab 45. It's all going to keep coming your way. And that doesn't make sense. Here's VOA reporting. Biden's telling you unvaccinated federal workers to face testing, masking, right? That's ignoring the fact that all of these outlets or these locations independently are forcing it on people regardless. Coercive, within their interpersonal communications, openly talking about things that are completely against the rules. HIPAA and a lot of other things we've discussed, like the fact that they are literally going, hey, what have you done? What have you done? This is not something that's allowed to be discussed by employers. But here we are, suddenly allowed to do that because fear. But unvaccinated federal workers to face testing and masking. Again, if you can still spread it, if you can still catch it, if you have a similar viral load, if you can, you know, people who are having it, what was it, 180 days ago, you know, they're twice as likely to catch it if you're vaccinated. Why does being vaccinated change the circumstance? There's no one that's willing to acknowledge that because they know what it shows you. Now, masking, I'll get into at the end. I mean, you guys know my stance on this. The masking is a part of the illusion. All of the research, all the peer-reviewed research, even the CDC document from May of 2020, when they looked at 14 random controlled trials, showed you that there's no statistically significant difference in transmission, which is all that matters. And all the new research says the same, and they just keep screaming that masking does this. Masks cause illness. They very clearly show you that they cause an increase in infections. That's what the only random controlled trial of cloth masks found, an increase in infections and a recommendation not to use them. And here we are. Shocking. Well, there's a reason that's happening, because they know that this is causing an illusion. Broadway audiences will need proof of vaccination and masks. Doesn't make sense. But they're getting pushback nonetheless. Biden's COVID-19 vaccine mandate draws postal union backlash, even from within the mainstream, guys. It's not, you need to realize that you are the majority, even in the mainstream. We have to see how clear that is. If they're getting pushback from their own, I mean, these are people that are supposed to be on their side, you know, give or take. That's why 60% of nurses said no. That's why they were heroes right up until they stopped talking about them. Isn't that funny? Oh, they're heroes. Oh, now they're not, because they don't like, they disagree with us. So were they heroes and up until they challenged the narrative? Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, here's another interesting one. Pentagon won't require vaccines for troop deployments. Right, of course, right? Because you do it, because you dirty peons have to do it. But, you know, our troops around the world, who cares? That doesn't matter. Don't force them to take it, but force you to take it. That makes sense? I guess we don't care about them spreading it overseas, or you interpret that however you want. But they're going, you have to wear masks and you have to do this. Well, everywhere else are saying you have to take this. And the military in the past, they've pretty much forced it on them anyway. But it doesn't add up at the end of the day. And a clip I wanted to play for you before we jump into the PCR really quickly, which is also very important, is this brave individual, Cole Beasley, speaking out on your side, standing up for choice at a time when it's never been more damaging and dangerous to do so. So you should give him props for this.
I wanted to start this off by saying I'm not anti or pro-vax. I'm pro-choice. With that being said, the issue at hand is information is being withheld from players in order for a player to be swayed in a direction he may not be comfortable with. When dealing with a player's health and safety, there should be complete transparency regarding information that is vital in the decision-making process. Without having all the proper information, a player can feel misguided and unsure about a very personal choice. It makes a player feel unprotected and gives concerns about future topics regarding health and our ability to make educated decisions. With regard to our overall safety, we have to know we are armed with full knowledge and understanding that those who are in a position to help us will always do that based on our individual situation. Some people may think that I'm being selfish in making this a me thing. It is all about the young players who don't have a voice and are reaching out to me every day because they're being told if they don't get vaxxed, they'll be cut. Agents are being told by teams if they have unvaccinated guys, they will not be given opportunities as of now to be seen in workouts. So once unvaxxed players get cut, they're losing a dream they have worked their whole lives for over.
Now, think about what he's saying right there. This is the kind of internal dialogue that we're not privy to. Right. So why exactly are they not giving chances to try out? Can you not take a test? Well, yeah, you can. They've even said that you can take your test and you can show, look, you can take a test every day. Fine. But it's not about that. You see, they're being coerced into it. You can take a test, show them you don't have it. You're good for today, but we're not going to let you practice till you get the vaccine. How does that make sense? Even these coaches and administrations are telling these people that you have to take this or we're going to treat you like a secondary citizen. None of this adds up, especially when you consider everything we just talked about. How does it stop anything from changing? It's only about injecting people and making sure they comply.
A vaccine that has proven to not keep people from contracting COVID, as we've seen.
Exactly.
Every doctor I've gone to with questions begins every sentence with, from what we know now, which tells me we don't know enough. The NFLPA is working to have vaccinated players tested more frequently than what the NFL initially stated.
And that's an interesting point too, because you understand what he's about to say here is that they're not testing the vaccinated side. So of course you're not going to see what's happening on the other side because you're not even looking. And we're clearly seeing in the world that that's what's happening. And he makes this point. So this guy is well aware of what's going on.
Players got the vaccination with the idea that these rules were already set in stone and they're not. It is common sense that if a vaxxed or unvaxxed player is tested less frequently, the likelihood of a player being pulled for COVID drops dramatically. In regard to player safety, I will conclude by saying we all want to be safe. For so many players around the NFL, safety does not solely mean avoiding the COVID virus. Our health is the now and years beyond, which we are trying to protect with our personal choice, while doing all the things we did in our protocol during a very successful 2020 NFL season. That's kind of where the issue has been for me this whole time, and that's how I want to, you know, end it right there. I would just ask you guys now if you could just ask me questions relating to football so we could put this to the side.
Good for him. Good for him. Now, I guarantee you their first question was about COVID-19. I guarantee it, because that's all they care about. But this is a person standing up for you, for his teammates who don't have a voice. It takes courage to do that. And I guarantee he's going to get put, going to get attacked for this. I promise you that. It's just frustrating that this is even how, where we are, you know, but what he's telling you is all the stuff we're talking about, you know, that this is an illusion based on the test, right? This is what brings us to the next point. How can we be in a position? And by the way, for those that are new to the show, I've shown at least four or five other huge things like this from other countries, entire judicial systems of other countries coming to the conclusion that these things are not valid. I forget what they were. I mean, in the chat, feel free and knock them out. We've talked about them a bunch. There's been at least three countries that have ruled that these PCR tests are invalid in this case. We've seen multiple medical people like this say the same thing, and it doesn't change anything. But we did recently talk about the fact that the CDC, after December of this year, is going to be removing or not renewing the emergency authorization for the PCR test, which tells you they know it doesn't work, regardless of how they're trying to frame that. But it says Manitoba chief, this is in Canada, microbiologist and laboratory specialist, 56% of positive cases are not infectious. Now, there was a bunch in here I wanted to show you. I'm going to try to grab some of them here. Chief microbiologist and laboratory specialist, Dr. Jared Bullard, is a witness for the Manitoba government in this hearing. And he brings up a lot of information that they just don't want you to see. And he says, he testified that the most accurate way to determine whether someone is actually infectious with COVID is to attempt to grow a cell culture in a lab from a patient sample, which is what I've been saying from the beginning. If a cell culture will not grow the virus in the lab, a patient will likely not be infectious. A study from his lab and his colleagues found that 44% of positive PCR test results would actually grow in the lab. So that means 66% were likely not infectious. That is a 66% false positive rate, according to his research. Dr. Scoglio, PhD, puts that at 95% when you get to 40 and above cycle threshold, which wait till he tells you what he sees. Let's do this part right here. Says he testified the PCR test can be positive for up to 100 days after the exposure to the virus, and the PCR tests do nothing more than confirm the presence of fragments of viral RNA. Exactly, which doesn't mean you're sick. You could have that and never, ever get sick. This is an illusion, guys, and it's all there for you to see. It says he tested. Now ask yourself how the test makes any difference, right? So you can get a test or the injection. Neither one is actually showing you what the reality, and they know that. It's pliable and can go in the way they want it to based on factors they're using, like the cycle threshold. It says, while a person with COVID-19 is infectious for 1 to 2 week period, non-viable fragments remain in the nose and so on. We've talked about that. Now it says his findings called into question the practice used in Canada and everywhere else of the results of classifying positive PCR tests as cases, which is what they're doing, which implies infectivity. Equating positive PCR tests to infectious cases, as so many provinces have done in all of this country and most of the world is doing over the course of the past 13 months, is incorrect and inaccurate, according to the Manitoba government witness, according to the expert. Dr. Bullard acknowledged that he has been closely studying the correlation between cycle threshold and infectiousness since May 7, 2020. He acknowledged that Manitoba has known for some time that given a PCR test, cycle threshold value is inversely correlated with the infectiousness. Meaning, to put it simply, as he writes, weak results are those that run at higher threshold, more cycles. For example, someone with a positive PCR test that runs at 18 cycles is more likely to be sick and infectious than someone who has a test run at 40. So the point being is you can run this up as high as you want until you finally see something and go, oh, there it is. And you won't even know for sure if that's even COVID or if that means they're infectious. This is what the inventor himself pointed out in a general sense, is what plenty afterwards have made very clear. It is not designed for this purpose. Now it says, this means that testing COVID at higher thresholds can result in false positives, as explained in the article here, which I'll link to, you could see for yourself. Even the WHO notes that careful interpretation of this is needed. And that was their way of quietly nudging people to go in a different direction. It says, Dr. Bullitt confirmed this was one of the first studies of its kind linking cycle threshold to infectiousness. But guess what? We've been pointing it out from the beginning because it was always there. His study just confirmed what we've been saying based on the data that's always been there. Dr. Bullitt also testified that cycle threshold value is a significant as a proxy or indication of the infectiousness. However, this is the crazy part. Despite his findings and recommendations and his two peer-reviewed studies, right? Biden says a study says this. Here's two peer-reviewed studies, Biden. Manitoba still, this is Canada, but same thing happening in this country, does not consider cycle threshold values as a proxy for infectiousness in its public health response to COVID-19. So they go, who cares about the data and the science? We're going to keep doing what we're doing because trust the science, right? Both Dr. Bullard and Manitoba chief medical officers, Dr. Brent Rosine, confirmed under cross-examination that cycle threshold values are not provided to public health officials by laboratories, meaning they don't know. They get a yes or a no, and they go, oh, Delta, because that's what's happening right now, right? Like we just showed you. This is the most flimsy, fraudulent concept I've ever seen. This whole thing is based on assumptions and authority figures stating forcefully. This is crazy. This is their expert. This is the chief medical officer saying, this isn't how we should be doing this. This is not right. The cycle threshold is completely tied to the infectiousness level. And they go, yeah, we don't care. They go, we're not going to do what you're saying. Wrap your mind around that. Dr. Rosine, their chief medical advisor, admitted that he could mandate that the cycle threshold value be provided to him, but that he has not done so. So I guess we don't care. It says some jurisdictions, for example, Florida, do consider cycle threshold value in their public health response. But finally, it should be noted that some Canadian news agencies have quoted Dr. Bullard. Get this. This is incredible. And this is a small picture, a small window into how the mainstream media, the Fox and the CNNs out there, will lie with selectively picking one thing out and yelling it at you as if it's the whole picture. Here, the full picture is what he's talking about. Get this. This is what the mainstream media did. Some news agencies quoted him as testifying that a positive PCR test indicates infectivity 99.9% of the time. That is what media organizations gleaned from what he said intentionally and just reported one part of it. But that's incorrect. What he said, in fact, was that a PCR test will detect any viral RNA that's present 99% of the time. However, Dr. Bullard testified that determining whether or not a sample is actually infectious needs to be confirmed by lab culture and noted only 44% of positive samples could be returned in lab culture. Right? They saw all that. They know because they chose to pick out one part they liked. So the media goes 99%. It works all the time. He didn't say that. He said 44% of the time it's actually accurate. And that's based on what he's looking at. That's on a cycle threshold of 25. Go up to 40, 45, which is what they're using. It's a 95%, if not more. Oh, and that's the best part. Manitoba's confirmed that it utilizes a cycle thresholds of up to 40 to 45 in some cases. There it is. Using an illusion to keep you in fear. Even when their experts go, no, that's not true. They go, shut up. We're going to do what we want to do anyway. It just blows your mind. And then the media goes right along and goes, it works completely. Didn't you see what Dr. Bullard said? 99.9% of the time. And all they do is read what the media said he said and walk away thinking, I'm going to trust the science. Well, the scientist didn't say that. The scientist said the opposite, but you trusted what the media told you he said. You see how that works? Good God, I've never seen it this obvious. And what I was just mentioning before, I'm not going to go over it again today, but you should read this in its entirety. This is the example from 2007 where they know what this does. They know what the PCR test does, right? This is the PCR test we're talking about in Dartmouth. This is called the epidemic that wasn't. I hope you will read this. I've referenced it a million times. Bottom line was, Says there is no, basically it says, as they look back on the episode, just quick summation, the point is they thought they had a whooping cough pandemic. They have already freaked out based on superficial symptoms. They all of a sudden started using the PCR test to find out. And they said, uh-oh, they've got whooping cough. They tested everybody and they all seemed to have whooping cough and they locked everything down. They put people in hospital quarantines. They gave people antivirals and vaccines and blah, blah, blah. Went on for months. Long story short, not a single case of whooping cough. You know why? As the doctors point out back in 2007, as they look back on the episode, epidemiologists and infectious disease specialists say the problem was, well, they placed too much faith in a quick and highly sensitive molecular test that led them astray. Do you know what that was? I just showed it to you. The PCR test. So they used the PCR test back in 2007. Now, guess what she said? There are no national data on pseudoepidemics that are caused by an over-reliance on such molecular tests. This is Dr. Pearl, an epidemiologist from none other than Johns Hopkins, that is saying that they happen all the time. Pseudoepidemics happen all the time. The Dartmouth case may have been the one that's large, but by no means the only one. And it was because of an over-reliance on the PCR test. Really, really take the time to read this article. What I think this shows you is that they know how this thing works. They know and they've seen how it can create an easy illusion based on the assumption of what you think it shows you, even though it doesn't really show you. It's a yes or no. So if you think you see something and you think you're testing for it and you get a yes, well, boom, now you've got a yes. Now when you test everybody else with a cough and you get that same yes, well, we've got an outbreak. That's what's happening. It's very clear to me. And they're using it, and it's obvious. Now, finally, to finish off, the mask is on its way back in your face, despite the fact that it's based on the illusion we just showed you, and it doesn't even do what they say it does. The third California county just says, oh, recommendation? Well, now we're going to mandate it, which is illegal. They have no right to force you based on nothing, something that was not voted on. This is a mandate. This is a decree from a rogue government telling you that you have to take a non-pharmaceutical medical intervention that actually puts your life at risk. That puts you in risk. I mean, that's not even hyperbole, guys. We're talking about things that lead to systemic inflammation. The dentists out there are screaming about oral thrush, teeth falling out, terrible breath, periodontal disease, which is a real thing. And it's a real serious thing, I should say. That's gum disease. You realize that heart disease is the leading cause of death in this country? That leads to that. Systemic inflammation is really serious. And that's what it's causing. The bottom line on top of that is the mask dries out your mouth. One of the most common bacterial points in your mouth is Staphylococcus. Staphylococcus, that's right, like strep throat. So when you put a mask on, it dries out your mouth. Well, that common bacteria in your mouth gets pulled back into your lungs. Guys, this is basic to look up long before COVID-19. So what happens when that pulls back into your lungs? Well, it causes pneumonia, bacterial pneumonia, which, by the way, is infectious. You can spread it and has the same symptoms as COVID-19. What do you know? So do you think the mask is leading to bacterial pneumonia? It's 100% that it can happen, 100%. Not can it happen every time. Can it do that? 100%. I've played this a million times. I'll play it again. This is Dr. Weiler, PhD, just confirming that for you because I asked him during our interview.
I have an interesting theory, and really it's based on the facts and the science, that there is an issue happening, especially with the season in regard to the masking and bacterial buildup that is causing bacterial pneumonia. And I mean, it seems like a basic conclusion to come to, but it's big conspiracy theory today to even make such a claim. But I find if you have thoughts, go ahead.
Well, not my thoughts. They're the thoughts of Jim Meehan. I interviewed him on my podcast on Breaking Science. I'm sorry to interrupt, but Jim Meehan, MD, he said, if you mask all day long and you mask these kids all day long, they're going to get bacterial infections. Adults are going to get bacterial pneumonia. It's a given in medicine that that's going to happen.
Oops, sorry about that. I forgot there was an end part of that. And exactly my point, right? And this is what I keep showing you because it's important that you guys have this information in front of you. This is the one I was referencing before. 2015, only random controlled trial of cloth masks. Only random controlled trial. And what it clearly finds is it cautions against their use, like I told you, but it finds that moisture retention and reuse of these masks and poor filtration may lead to increased risk of infection. They know that. That's why they stopped using them. They said, don't use them. We shouldn't recommend them. And then when this problem started, the government said, use cloth masks. Only thing, use those. So we can point to it and say there's a problem. But penetration of the mask and particles is almost 97%. They've known this since 2015. So why if they give you a mask that doesn't stop even droplets 97% of the time and say, wear that? It'll help you. It'll keep you safe from the thing that doesn't stop and won't cause infections, even though the data shows you that it will. It's a choice, guys. It's always a choice. It will lead to this problem because the data shows you that. And if it's causing bacterial pneumonia, that you can then spread. It also shows you that when on the CDC website, when they're combining the numbers of pneumonia, flu, and COVID, it's called PIC. It's right on their website. When they report COVID numbers, it's reported as a combination of flu, pneumonia, and COVID-19. That's why flu doesn't exist right now. You can look back and flu disappeared. How did flu disappear? Well, because it was always lumped into COVID-19. This is exactly what they've been doing with pneumonia and flu forever. And that is what the HHS actually called them out for and said they're lying about the numbers. But here we are, forcing it back in nonetheless. And here's a crazy thing I need to point out. Pelosi's ordering the Capitol Police to arrest staff and visitors who fail to comply with the new mask mandate for vaccinated individuals. So even the vaccinated, by the way, members asked to report. So here's the thing, guys. I actually just talked about this in regard to the House of Commons in the UK. At the very least, at least the what do they call him? The speaker? I forget now. In the UK, the House of Commons, the leading individual in the room was asked, and he said, no, you will not be, if you whether vaxxed or not, you will not be withheld from this chamber because you're representing your constituents, which, by the way, is kind of a contradiction anyway, right? So you're all in danger if you don't do this, but we won't make you do it because politics. It's just silly, even though I'm glad they're not making anybody them do it. But is Pelosi going to stop members of Congress from coming in if they don't wear a mask? How in the world can you justify that? You are literally stopping the illusion of democracy, by the way. They're not actually there representing you. But let's pretend for a minute that that's actually our scenario still works like that, that they're the living embodiment of our constituency. It's nonsense. But let's pretend. Are we going to pretend like they are? Are you actually going to stop people who were claiming are representing an entire state because they're not wearing a mask? So that entire state no longer gets representation because you're going to stop them from wearing something they shouldn't be forced to wear? Based on a mandate that's not actually trusting the science or engaging with the actual scientific research? That's incredible to me. And of course, obviously, this is in their minds going to be applied largely to a Republican side within that two-party illusion. It's going to cause people to lose their minds. And on a little bit of a positive note, St. Louis issued new mask mandate on Monday, and it was overturned on Tuesday. This is the moment the city council declared the end of mask mandates. This is what we need, right? Now, I'm not saying that, I mean, at a city council level is probably the if any level you're going to be able to reach somebody, it's going to be the lowest possible level, county, city, because maybe there's still real people there. But my point being is that this is the kind of thing we need, not just action politically, because I don't know if that's going to do anything, but this, guys. We need people getting together and taking action. I'm not advocating for violence. As you know, that's not what I'm talking about. I believe violence begets violence. And I don't even think that makes sense in the context of what they're talking about today. I think they hope you'll come out with violent action so they can immediately shut you down and be like terrorists and it's all over. And you'll remember for the rest of your life as a terrorist and it's all game over, right? Here is what we need. People standing together and showing you the 50.1% standing up in unison and saying, no, we will not let this happen. That's what we need. Until that happens, this will continue. That's where we are. Oh, here, I think there were, let me see here. I had a couple more things I've lost at the end. So bottom line here to finish up, we are seeing these things happen. The rules being set down for the green pass, right? Weird how the green pass in Italy, just like it was the green pass in Israel. I wonder why they use green pass instead of anything else. Oh, that's right. Because they're already telling you that they're going to use lockdowns for climate change. If you think I'm wrong, just wait. It's coming your way. And they're going to, and that's, and there's no secret. Israel basically let it out of the bag. The green pass indicates the future of what this is going to be used for. Just like Israel tends to do. They tend to jump ahead of the narrative a little bit for whatever reason. And why is Italy using the same thing? Just wait. The bottom line is these are coming. It's already happening. They're already creating. And, you know, remember the vaccine passports were fake news. And now here we are. But chaos erupted when Italian parliament over these new rules. And it just shows you this. Things are out of control. Because even people in the government, I think, are standing against this to some degree. But as Highwire reported, starting Monday, some 300 unarmed soldiers in Australia, in Sydney specifically, a city of 6 million, they will begin knocking on doors to ensure that residents are following strict stay-at-home measures. Think about that. Well, let's take a look at what's going on there. Let's see if that is justified. Okay, well, we have, look at that, scary rise in cases, right? Well, we can only imagine what deaths will look. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, so does anybody want to explain that to me? So we have a very, very small rise in cases, respectively, based off where we've been, right? And literally zero deaths following that. I mean, nothing. All the way since May. So months have gone by, no increase in deaths. So that means we're past it. I mean, with all said and done, with everything they keep telling us, but all they're focusing on is cases now. And you know why? Because they're trying to keep the narrative going. So if they're going to be forcing people in their homes in Sydney based on, what was the last number? Five deaths on July 27th and zero since then. We're going to literally this is crazy. This is based on a zero sum risk concept, which will never be reached. And they're literally patrolling your doors to make sure you don't leave your house. The US government's totally fine with this, right? You can only imagine if this kind of stuff was happening in one of those bad guy countries. Well, then they'd be so terrible. Remember in the beginning when Iran locked down? Oh, Iran's such a bad guy. Look at them doing these terrible archaic things. And then suddenly we locked down too. And then it was okay. It's just pathetic how completely hypocritical they are in every regard. And I think these were the ones I included at the end. So that leaves us for the end of the show today. Guys, I just can't, it blows me away how increasingly obvious all of this is. And I hope some of this helped people to find their way. And I will continue to bring this information as every single day. As always, all of the show notes will list all the information for you. I'll include afterward, probably tomorrow, as it's a late show today, but it'll come your way. And I hope you will continue to research this information, come to your own conclusions, and not just trust what I'm saying. I mean, in truth, I'm not really telling you what to think in a lot of ways. I have my opinions, but I'm giving you the data to look at it for yourselves. That's what matters. That's what they're not doing. That's what half the independent media is not doing. They want you to share their work. That's what the media mainstream is. How often do you see the links with what they're talking about? 99.2% unvaccinated, said Fauci. Okay, great. Great due diligence, media. I had to trace it back to the AP to even report that to you. All they say is Fauci said, because that's great journalism, right? And we are the ones being censored. I think you get the picture. Thank you for being here and continuing to support us in spite of all the censorship and attacks from all the revenue platforms. And it's going to keep coming, guys. We're probably going to keep getting attacked in regard to infrastructure. We're probably going to keep getting attacked in regard to our streams. But you know what? We are not going to stop. We're going to find ways around it. I'm going to go to people's houses. I'm going to go to internet cafes if I have to. And we'll keep this coming your way because we are in a fight for our lives. And that's not hyperbole. This is a fight for humanity. When you really understand where this is going, that's, you know, the vaccine, the passport, these are means to an end for where this is going. That's the point. And we all see it. Time to act. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Struggles we bear. Beg you, listen, my claim. See the struggles we bear. Nobody don't care. I'm stuck in my house.
Waiting, no education, no depopulation. everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue. It's time to unite, get up and fight. Oh, it's time to unite.
Where's the grave concern if you're going to be injected with these same proteins? Not a single, to my knowledge, not a single vaccine manufacturer took heed of my warning to remove those unsafe epitopes from the vaccines before they formulated their vaccines, in spite of being emailed.
Wait a minute, don't take her away! Hey, don't take her away!
Stand for nothing, you fall for everything.
It's the message.